show.
Hold on. Are we in Sweden?
Phony priest.
Is it Sweden already?
Is someone pretending to be a priest? And then to what end? For what? To
well,
meet
maybe
kids?
You need to watch the news tonight on Channel 11, Bean.
Oh, I got to watch that. That sounds awesome. Hey, you guys. Star Wars is a thing, right?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert, because I think we may hit a couple of plot points here. We were on vacation, mercifully for you, when the Star Wars movie came out just before Christmas. So we really haven't had much of a chance to discuss it here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But everybody saw it, all of us saw it over the holidays, and all of us, am I exaggerating if I say loved it?
Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it. Loved the movie.
Loved it.
We
loved it.
Having said that, there are two things happening that are a disturbance in the force right now. One is there's a backlash against how popular Star Wars is. There are people now bagging on Star Wars because everybody loves it, and I got no time for those people. Then there's the other thing that is maybe a more considered opinion, which is some people are saying, hey, you know what? Star Wars was really good, but ...
Yeah.
Now, for some, that's going to just be, hey, why are you picking on the movie? It was great. But for others, they're thinking, you know what? You make some pretty reasonable points. And that's what we want to talk about is I liked Star Wars a lot, except ... Ralph, we're going to give you the floor first because I know you had some disappointments along with your joy when you walked out of the theater.
Look, you can't deny it's a great time at the movie theater, and that's hard to come by. So you have to give it credit for that.
Plus, it's such a great feeling to be back in that world.
Yes, and they have replicated that world so thoroughly and vividly and with such joy, and it really was a great time. However, the strength may have been its weakness also, in my opinion.
Okay.
Is that they replicated that world so well that I felt they revisited almost to a fault some plot lines and character relationships that made it feel a little bit too familiar to me. I would have enjoyed a little bit more venturing into a new story and a new world told in the Star Wars style.
This is too much like A New Hope?
It's very much like the first film, yeah. A New Hope.
New characters were basically playing the same roles that the older characters played in the first movie.
Right. You have the innocent, desert planet-dwelling person who does not know what their future holds for them. You have the Luke Skywalker character that is embodied by Daisy Ridley, who I thought was brilliant and beautiful, and you fall in love with her. I would have liked to have seen them use her perhaps in another way. You've got the Poe Dameron character, who's sort of like a rakish Han Solo pilot type. But I love the characters. I loved the Kylo Ren, the new bad guy. But there were so much familiar aspects to what you saw them do. You had a cute little droid that has an important piece of information that's important to the rebellion regarding a large, dangerous space station.
Right, but we're talking about the new one.
No, I'm talking about the new one. That's the problem. And then the sand-dwelling innocent gets recruited into the rebellion unexpectedly, and they have to go find a Jedi Master who is a mysterious recluse, and they also have to blow up this giant, dangerous space station that's got me. As I was watching, I was like, holy crap, they are almost wholesale stealing the storylines from the first one.
Let me ask you this question. Did they have to do that to restart this thing and get everybody back on board and all that kind of? Did they sort of have to do that?
I think with the original cast back in the film, they didn't have to do that. Okay. I think enough people would come back to see those characters reprise their roles in a new adventure. You already had the old cast. You didn't really need to revisit the old story.
Right, yeah.
That's just my take.
Okay. We got an email just because we tipped off yesterday we were going to be discussing this on today's Kevin and Bean Show from Brian, who writes in, who says, I like the Star Wars movie, but it didn't take any chances or try anything new. The Star Wars universe is massive and expansive, so why do they have to tell us the same story over and over again? Nobody wants to see Peter Parker become Spider-Man over and over again. They want to see new stories with the awesome characters you love, and I wish Star Wars had done that. Oh, well, it still took my money. Kind of what you're saying, which is, been there, done that. Right,
yeah, but I wasn't disappointed enough to affect my enjoyment of the film. I had a good time.
Same. I saw it twice, even though I had one tiny complaint.
But I was like,
what's your complaint, Monkey?
Well, do we have time?
Yeah.
Kylo Ren.
Again, spoiler alert for folks who haven't seen the movie.
Sort of a weak bad guy.
I loved that fact he wasn't the Darth Vader kind of bad guy, which was stoic and just
and
robotic
great and strong and scary.
This guy was scary and great and strong, but he was also emotional and unhinged and violent temper outbursts. I thought that was most refreshing change in the new film.
Why did the character of Rey why was she able to fight him with lightsabers like she'd been training her whole life?
How do you know she hasn't? She's force sensitive, obviously.
Well, the force is strong
but
with
we're
her.
Also
yes,
gonna...
it was with Luke, too, but they talked for two movies about him making sure he didn't leave his training because he doesn't want to face Darth Vader before. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of
Kylo
attention.
Kylo Ren is not a Vader-caliber mm-hmm. Sith Lord.
No, he's not.
Not at all. In fact, the big bad in it, the Emperor character, that also was very
Snoke.
Familiar.
Snape,
Snoke.
Yeah.
Snoke.
Snoke. Snoke.
I thought it was Snape, okay.
Snoke. No, that's Harry Potter.
But okay. Snoke says, now it is time for him to resume his training. So you know that Kylo yeah. Ren is not up to Darth Vader standards either. They're both sort of at the beginning stages of their Jedi Force-ness.
And Kevin, yesterday you were complaining or not complaining about his hair?
Well, he does take off the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got salon-quality hair. It's beautiful.
The Force is strong with
his hair. It's beautiful, flowing, not even hat hair. He wasn't even wearing a hat. He was wearing a full
force
helmet.
Force keeps his hair together.
Wow, that was amazing hair.
Wow. The force flows through all things, Kevin, including his hair.
All right.
I think a lot of it, too, is they're building up for the next one.
I'm looking forward to the next film
exactly.
even more so.
Even more so, because we're wondering, well, Rey, who are you? Are you a Skywalker? Are you related to Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, I got
what
all
is
that.
It? Like, I am
but
now
the plot
looking...
of this film
was very Star Wars. We get it. But
right.
For me, I wanted to see some old friends, and I wanted to make some new ones, and I did.
You have
okay.
no
and
friends,
I,
do you?
This not
is
a
real
one,
friend.
Not
this
a one.
This is sad because these are not friends; these are just characters on a movie screen.
Nope, they are my friends, and the fact that now little girls have this character.
Rey.
To look up to and to be this hero.
I agree.
And it is
yeah.
something
that's what we
that
need
I...
is for little girls to start being mouthier. Thanks, Allie.
Oh, how dare you. I wish I could go back in time and be a 7-year-old because that would be the greatest thing, to grow up knowing that I'm going to be able to watch this girl become what she's going
all right,
to become.
We need to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to take calls. 1-800-520-1067. You like the movie. We're not looking for people who hate the movie, whatever. You've always hated it.
Because you're wrong.
Right,
yeah.
But you liked it. It's just there's something that bugged you a little bit.
I see it as a missed opportunity with this film more than anything else. But I still delivered on almost every level.
And we'll take your calls now.
Talking about Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 here on The Kevin DeBean Show. If you're just joining us, please don't misunderstand. We all saw the movie. We all loved the movie. But that doesn't mean it was perfect or we wouldn't have changed a couple things if we could. If I can just say, in the interest of spoiler alerts here, and Ralph, you covered this a little bit. At some point, somebody who works for the dark side has got to learn how to build a Death Star without a weakness, right?
Or come up with a new idea for a weapon. This is the third go-around we've had with the freaking Death Star
right.
already. Enough
at
with the Death Star. Come
at
up.
At some point, go, the Death Star isn't getting the job
right.
Done.
Let's make a Death Tree. Or a...
Start smaller?
Or a Death Slingshot or something, perhaps, without such a big hole in it.
All right. So let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, we got some good ones here. Let's start with Chris in Burbank. He's on line one, at least to get us going here.
All right. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
You too.
Yeah, so I was thinking this is 30 years later, and we're still seeing the same old X-Wings and TIE Fighters. You know, I can understand the Rebels might be on a shoestring budget, but... You know, if the Emperor can build up a new Death Star, let's upgrade the TIE Fighters.
So a little technological advancement would have made you happy. Some cool ships that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been great.
Look, I got to tell you, 30 years after World War II, boats were still boats. You know what I mean?
And we're still flying planes into battle.
Planes are planes. I mean, stop it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm not a hater, but...
So you're denying him?
Yeah, I'm denying him.
Sorry, Chris.
I thought it was so cool how you got to see X-Wings and TIE Fighters in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Instead of in space, you got to see him doing strafing runs and stuff. I thought that was brilliantly done on JJ's part.
Speaking of ships, again, spoiler alert, how brilliant was it when they revealed the Millennium Falcon?
Outstanding.
It was pretty great.
I mean, it
chills.
Was like, oh my God, it chills, exactly.
I have
right?
to say that every character and like fave presence from those films... was introduced brilliantly in that movie.
Yeah.
Every time you met somebody new or something new, it was great to see you again.
Let's go to Obey, line 6, please. He is in Long Beach.
He's a Jedi, Obey.
He's got a complaint about the new Star Wars movie. We are all ears, Obey. Go ahead.
Yo, what's up, guys? How
are
you doing?
We are good. We're talking about we liked the movie, but it may not have been perfect.
Oh, man, yeah, I love the movie. I think Disney did an excellent job with the movie, kind of saved it from the last three George Lucas films that came out that
right.
he did. I love this one. I really liked how they went back to the old, you know,
but
thing. The only thing I didn't like was the whole Spiro droid, the whole R2 R2-D2 replacement.
You hated BB-8?
Really oh. Good for me.
See,
you
know?
He had so, it, like com- like comedic timing, and BB-8 was delightful.
What are you, a communist? Yeah,
what's like, oh, babe, what's happening?
Wall-E, you know, it's like trying to be Wall-E, but it's just really one of those like little toys that's missing a raccoon tail that you know you see at the mall. You know what I mean?
Oh, babe. I deny love BB-8.
Denied.
I deny it too. Deny.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I went in looking to dislike BB-8 because of all the merch and all the hype and everything, but I really fell in love with that character. I thought he was cool. Yeah.
Let's go to line 8, please, Kevin. This is going to be our friend Robert. He is in Covina. He's got a complaint about Finn. Robert, welcome to the Kevin DeVine Show. What do you got for us?
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thank you.
I love the movie, but I didn't like the fact that they had Finn actually use the lightsaber.
You didn't like the fact that Finn used a lightsaber?
Yeah, he knew how to turn it on, he knew how to use it, and he battled with Kylo Ren with it. They should have just left it, just Rey using it and battling Kylo
Ren.
Well,
now, Allie, let me ask you, because you're the expert here. I mean, are we going to find out that he's got some Jedi in
him? I think he, too, is Force sensitive, because he turned that lightsaber on. You see the shock in his face, like, oh, God. And then he just knew immediately what to do.
And he's like, Jedi, please.
He's like, right? Okay. Yeah. I think it's all leading up to these backstories that we're going to find out about that maybe he was going through the training as well. Maybe all of
Everyone was training.
All of their minds have been erased by Captain Phasma. What? Allie? That's crazy.
No.
Thank you for the call.
She's just talking to herself.
She doesn't need anyone else.
Nope. Right. Let's go to line 4. Speaking of Captain Phasma, he is in Chatsworth, and this is going to be Martin. Ralph, for our listeners who don't keep the character's name straight, refresh everyone's memory on Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma was the shiny stormtrooper captain, and she was the one that allowed them to drop the cloaking device, the force field around the Death Star that allowed the rebel troops to get into.
Played by the great Gwendolyn and Christie. All right, Martin, what's your complaint about Captain Phasma?
An underwhelming character. She didn't do anything. I really was disappointed.
I agree.
I thought she had a chance with like Finn fought this random stormtrooper with a crazy electric stick or whatever. She could have been that, and it would have made sense. Like, hey, traitor, I'm here. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Yeah, she was underused a little bit, but I think you're going to see more of her in the upcoming film.
Absolutely.
I think it was just a little introduction. She's like the Boba Fett of this trilogy, and you're going to see more of her.
So she would survive the trash picker, I assume.
Absolutely.
I hope they let Martin write her dialogue, though, because I think he nailed it. All right, let's do one more on line 3. Let's go to, is it Tifiva? Can that possibly be a name?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Tifiva?
Yes.
What's, okay, hold on, before you move on. What's the history of Tifiva?
It's Samoan.
Samoan, yeah. Okay. It sounds like it ought to be in the new Star Wars movie. All right, what's your complaint?
Okay, one thing, the movie was predictable. Number 2 was there was no hot guys. You had Finn, who looked like
Dameron,
Tracy Morgan.
Wait, hold on a second.
Tracy Morgan. Yes.
Oscar Isaac is one of the hottest guys
ever.
Ever. Yeah.
Who?
Poe Dameron.
The X-Wing fighter. The pilot.
Lost his jacket. Him and Finn had a bromance.
He's a little bit old. And then Kylo Ren looks like Gene Simmons and Marilyn Manson had a kid together.
he really does That's look true. Like Gene Simmons' son. That's he does. True. He looks like him a lot.
I'd love to see Gene Simmons play Kylo Ren. That'd be awesome. The best thing ever.
All right.
I'm just saying you're a very powerful and strong Jedi.
That'd be awesome.
Well, listen, Tifiva, I want you to do yourself a favor and listen to yesterday's podcast of the Kevin DeVine Show, because we got some Star Wars porn to recommend to you that may take care of your hot guy needs. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Time to be held accountable, you guys. It's time for Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back?
What?
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back?
What?
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Tell me, would you take that back?
So the point of this is we're doing live radio, and sometimes we just say what comes to our minds off the top of our heads, and maybe we think it's funny as it's coming out of our mouth, and then we realize, I made a terrible mistake. This is an opportunity for us to clear the record, basically, and to apologize and withdraw our remarks when confronted with them again.
This is going to surprise you guys, but Bean is first.
No. Lots of interesting news. You know, they're doing that Wiz show on NBC. NBC's been doing live musical productions. Started with The Sound of Music, then they followed up with Peter Pan. Now The Wiz
is the next in the lineup, and they're having
nobody
a hell
beats
of a,
it.
They're having a hell of a time.
Come on,
nobody beats the Wiz.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know.
Come on,
that's not even a Southern California thing.
Come on. Would you like to take that
back? All right, there was a very popular series of commercials for decades that ran along the East Coast of an electronics chain called The Wiz.
Right. We know what it is.
The slogan was, nobody beats The Wiz.
Right.
We understood all of that when it happened.
Oh.
But it was, never came out here. Well, the question is...
Would you like to take that back?
Come on.
Sure. I'll take it back. All right. I'll take. Although I will say that I think that there are a certain number of people who heard it and liked it.
Yes, but all of our East Coast listeners who are listening on our affiliate there in New York and Jersey loved it, I'm sure.
Interesting, because way, when I made that joke months ago, Bean was so mad at me.
Yeah, he was right.
So then he did it.
Well, yeah, when it comes out of Bean's mouth, it's just automatically magic,
oh,
Al. You don't
got
understand.
Got it. Sorry. I apologize.
I also think The Wiz has been out of business for 20 years.
Back on court, too.
Maybe another deterrent. So I'm taking it back.
Next up, strangely enough, is Bean.
Oh!
Ralph was on vacation. Ali was doing showbiz. She was talking about Straight Outta Compton, the new Dr. Dre album.
Well, you can get pumped up because Dr. Dre is set to release his first album in 15 years.
Yeah!
That is coming out this Friday. It's going to be released through Apple's new streaming music service, of course.
I'm glad to hear that because I forgot about Dre. Wow. And now he's he's back.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, got it. Would you like to take that
back? I still enjoy that one. I still like the forgot about Dre.
Seriously, though, that was...
You didn't even enjoy it right after you said it. You shrank after the moment after you said it, but now all of a sudden it's hilarious?
Tell me that wasn't low-hanging fruit. Even for you. Come on.
I still enjoy it. I'm not going to take that back. I think I'm not going to take that back. I think I was disappointed that it was not better, more well-received, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to take it back.
You are the Kim Davis of comedy.
All right, this is going to surprise you, but Bean is next.
What?
Oh, come on. There's lots
again,
of
it. Again, Ralph is on vacation, so maybe he didn't even get to hear it this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is all new to me.
Yes, this is Ali doing showbiz talking about Pierce Brosnan got found with a knife at the airport.
Brosnan knew the knife was in his carry-on bag, but once they saw the weapon, they gave him a choice. They said, hey, surrender the knife or put it in your checked baggage. No citation, no nothing. Just go ahead, Pierce. You didn't mean it.
He is in Her Majesty's Secret Service, by the way. He gets a little bit of leeway. He's got a license to kill, Allie.
Oh, man. Would you like to
take that back? Wow.
Right?
He played James Bond,
we
guys.
We know that. Would
you like to take that back? Come on, Ralph. You were a Bond fan. That was clever, right?
That wasn't even close to clever.
It was the most obvious, horrible joke you could have made.
Would you like to take that? All right.
If you had said, was the knife made of Remington steel? Then I would have given you a little latitude. He's got a license to kill. He's not in the Secret Service. You're like a brain-damaged, doddering old fool, sir.
I will. I'll withdraw the remarks. I take it back.
All right. This next one was during the showbiz, but we were up against the clock because we were going to talk to Ice Cube. So we sort of had to finish at a certain time, and Rope would not let it go.
Daryl Hall of the legendary Hall & Oates. Sad news. He is getting divorced. His wife, Amanda Jane Hall, has filed papers. She said, I can't go for that.
Nope.
No.
Really? You're going to do?
No can do.
Would you like to
say regarding their marriage?
No.
So that's why they couldn't work it out. I heard she's a man eater, that girl.
Stop talking.
Don't. Keep going.
She reportedly hired some private eyes to follow Daryl, and she did not like what they had to say.
I'm asking you as a man to stop this immediately.
Luckily, her friend Sarah is there to take it
all
over.
Right. Listen.
Stop it.
So we got Ice Cube next. We need to,
let's
wrap this. Not that this isn't great.
Sarah, smile with
okay.
Keep her going, even in the toughest times. No word yet on the settlement, but people say because of his income, she could end up a rich girl.
Fine. Gone too far.
Ralph.
Finally. Would you like to take that back?
So much there, so much.
It's even better the next second time around.
It really is.
Ralph, just behind the scenes, Ralph was dying laughing during that.
Wiping tears right now.
Wow. God damn it, I'm good.
So that's a no.
That would be a no. That would be a
You're
no.
not going to take it back?
No, not enough.
So I have to take back everything I've ever said. You get the opportunity to take one thing back, and it's a no.
Try being better, I guess would be my advice to you. Would you like to
take that? All right. How about this for an awesome plan for you and your family for the holidays? A 4-pack of tickets to see the Clippers welcome the Oklahoma City Thunder to town. That is a great rivalry. They'll be playing at Staples Center on December the 21st. This is not just tickets, by the way. It's a family 4-pack, including a parking pass, early entry into the arena to watch the players warm up. You get a family photo on the Clippers court prior to the game, and 4 passes to the members-only Lexus Club. An amazing deal from the Clippers. And we want you to go. 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now. You will have to earn it. We'll give you a chance to play a game in about 10 minutes or so. If you're a basketball fan, if you love the Clippers, now's the time to call the Kevin and Bean Show and win from K-Rock.
Until this last weekend, Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez have been broken up for about a year.
Right.
Did you know that their name is Jelena? Do you know that was their name?
I have seen that. Yeah. I've seen that written. Yeah, Jelena. Of course you have. All celebrities, ever since, you know, Brangelina and Bennifer and back then in the 90s when this became the thing, all celebrities now, no matter how awkward they sound, have to have a name where they put the two names
right,
together.
Okay.
But, well, I mean, look, he was an asshat, right? I mean, yeah. she dumped him, as far as I understand, because of his horrible behavior, because he's a terrible person. But he allegedly has his life on the right track now, and he's staying out of trouble, and he's certainly back musically. He's got the number one album in America right now. But we thought we would check in with our friend Justin Bieber and see what's up and what's changed and what his plan is to win back Selena Gomez. So Mr. Bieber joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Justin.
Why are the questions, bro?
We just said,
said hello. That's it. They haven't even asked a question.
Coming at me so hard, being all media, eh?
What?
It's hard to be a child star growing up in the limelight, eh? I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
Well,
it's
You didn't have to do it. You wanted
to
be.
I do, man. I have to do it because I have so much, all the music inside me, eh?
Ah, I see.
But isn't the world going to be fine if we don't have you asking us, what do you mean,
what
80 times in a row?
What does it mean?
Right.
When
well, we don't
you say you should go, and then you ask me to stay, and then I'd go away, and you say, please come back. What does that mean when you say come back? Do you really mean come back?
Maybe Selena got tired of those questions.
Selena loves me, yo. We're back together again. Jelena for life, forever, yo.
All right, so we wanted to ask you about the Montage Beverly Hills Hotel this past weekend. You were sitting at
Montage!
Right.
Right. Montage.
Right, that's the name of the restaurant or the bar, I guess.
What does it mean
in the Beverly Hills Hotel?
They call it Montage, but you don't work out getting ready for a big fight or anything. Okay. What does it mean?
Yeah. Not that kind of montage, I guess. All right, so what happened? So you guys are in there. You went there together, and then you just decided to jump up on stage and sing to her. What happened, Justin?
Well, we were hanging out, eh? And then you know we're there, and she's looking at me, and I'm looking at her. And here's the thing. Once you go Canadian, you can't wait to get laid again.
Did you just make that up?
Yep.
You hoping that catches fire?
She wanted a little, you know, she wanted to return to the beeb.
Is that right?
She wanted a little beeb.
Uh-huh.
She wanted some of that sweet maple syrup, yo.
Yeah,
from
I don't
Canada,
think
eh?
right.
Yeah. We know you're from Canada,
Canada,
but I don't.
Right.
No, we got it. But I don't think this is the kind of talk that is going to endear her to you. I think she's hoping you have grown up and matured a little bit, and you won't come on the radio and say dumb things anymore.
But Selena can't help herself because she needed some more of that Canadian hockey stick, yo.
Right,
eh?
Right. We get it. We
understand. Yes, you're having sex with Selena Gomez. We got that, Justin.
And I'm not talking about the regular stick. I'm talking about that goalie stick, yo.
Right, okay.
Like the blocker.
Right.
Eh?
Okay, yes. Right.
Yes. So Canada, started, hockey A, got it.
I started dancing, and then I sang to her a rendition of My Girl.
Okay.
You know that My Girl song from, like, the olden times?
Right, from the Temptations from the 1960s, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, you are my girl, and you are my girl, but you think you're my girl. Are you my girl?
That's not the old one, though. That's not
how it goes. That's just their lyrics on top of
your song. Every song goes, yo.
Oh, because every song is...
we're living in the Bieber world, eh?
I see.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So then once I sang to her and we danced a little bit, girl was just lost again. She couldn't help herself because she knows... she got to have some Bieber because once you go Canadian,
right?
You want to get laid again.
Right. We understand. Okay, all right, Justin. So far it's going well.
So I got out my Mountie, right?
Okay. No,
that doesn't work at all.
My Royal Mountie.
Okay.
she royal mounted me, yo.
Okay, because you're from Canada.
From
no, we
Canada,
got all that.
Eh?
Yeah, we get it. All right. We got actually we have to go, Justin. But I'm glad we got a chance to catch up, and I hope it continues to go well with your girlfriend.
So I said, why don't you get on my Winnipeg? Stop looking Canada.
Yes, you are.
I made her go Toronto.
I'm not even sure that made sense.
Me neither, eh?
All right.
Love those killers, man.
Oh,
love them so much. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Congratulations to everybody who got Coachella tickets yesterday. It did sell out in, once again, just a few minutes. Hundreds of thousands of people buy those tickets, by the way. The minute they go on sale, it never fails. But we will have You Can Win coming up here very soon on K-Rock, so keep listening for details on that. Ralph, we got an email yesterday from a listener named Alicia who needs our help. Did you see it?
I did.
She is a podcast listener in Bakersfield, California. Let's say hi to her. Hey, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi, Alicia.
You got Ralph. You got Allie. You got me, Bean. Chip is here, too. Kevin is on a plane right now trying to learn how to speak Spanish.
Muy bien.
¿Dónde está el biblioteca? Is where he's at right now. You reached out yesterday. You wanted some help. We do have listeners standing by for the scientific survey, so you're going to be telling us and them what's on your mind.
Well, I think Kylo Ren is hot, and everybody who I have a conversation about it with disagrees with me. Mm. It's usually 50-50, and for some reason, it's mostly guys who are offended by it. I'm not sure why, but I was really curious on what you guys think. There was a caller on Monday when you guys were talking about Star Wars, and she said that there were no hot guys on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally disagree.
All right, so Kylo Ren, the character you're referring to, for folks who don't recognize the name, is actor Adam Driver, who's he's one of the stars of the TV show Girls, the Lena Dunham show on HBO. He was in that This Is Where I Leave You movie. And he is an unusual-looking person, I would say. I mean, when I first – he's half gorilla, to be honest.
What?
He's kind of gorilla-esque
he's
in my
not
mind.
At all.
He kind of is. He's just got a big, flat head – and balmy ears. I mean, he's a weird-looking dude. They're beautiful.
I think he does have a certain type of attractiveness that some women are attracted to. He's very
tall.
Thin. He's tall, thin, gangly. He's got that sort of what my wife calls dirty, dirty sexy.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like he only bathes maybe every other day, every third day.
Yeah. I mean, aesthetically, he's no, like, what most women would probably agree on, a Ryan Gosling, a Ryan Reynolds.
He's not classically
handsome. He's not classically, his face is not symmetrical, which a lot of hot people, to me, I like that. Like an Adrian Brody, like that type of thing where you wouldn't
Adrian
really think.
Adrian Brody?
Yeah, there's something like not quite right with his face. A lot would say his nose. And I think a lot of people think that about Adam Driver, and it makes women and men not think he's attractive. I think he's sexy as hell.
Oh,
Thank you, Allie.
He is a babe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You said in the email that you started watching Girls just to see Adam Driver.
Yes, I did, and if he leaves that show, I will stop watching.
And so you got a lot of him having sex, a lot of him running around with his shirt off. So that was perfect for you.
Yeah,
a lot of him crying.
Yeah, he did get very emotional.
Yeah. He did.
Yes, he did. I like that.
Let me ask you this, and then we're going to go to the calls. We got them all lined up here to get the definitive word on whether Adam Driver is attractive or not with the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey. I can see, like, to me, he's not attractive. He's not attractive at all. He's very average.
Daddy no likey?
Daddy no likey.
Oh.
But I will say, and tell me if this is part of your attraction, Alicia, he seems like a very smart guy, and he seems like a very emotionally present guy, if that makes any sense to you. Like, he seems like a real dude.
That's probably the biggest thing, and I don't know if it's just the characters he plays, but that's how he comes off to me.
Okay. All right. Alicia has spoken. Allie, it sounds like you're on board. Ralph, what is your take? Your take is hot or not?
He's not my kind of man.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. I like a more sort of a guy's guy. He seems a little emo to me.
Okay.
But, you know.
He's not Clooney-esque enough for you.
Not Clooney-esque at all.
Okay.
All right. Let's see what the listeners have to say. It's time for a Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Now, this is binding, right, Bean? This is the definitive answer on the,
right.
on the
matter. It can no longer be discussed after this. If the listeners determine, and we only need the best 3 out of 5, that Adam Driver is attractive, then he just is attractive. It no longer becomes opinion. It's now fact.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we asked for ladies and gays to call, and I think we've got a good mix of both. We start with Monica. She's on line one. She is in Ontario. She is up first. You've heard the evidence, Monica. Adam Driver. From Star Wars The Force Awakens, he plays Kylo Ren. Attractive or not attractive?
I think he's attractive.
Attractive? What do you like about him?
I don't know. I like his hair. I like that he looks a little different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
His character.
Good enough.
Does have great hair.
We're going to put you down as a yes. Although Kevin was very disappointed that he didn't at least have helmet hair when he takes off his helmet in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, that's dumb.
All right, Monica, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's get our first gay on the line. This is Jose. He's in Long Beach. Jose?
You sound so sensitive when you put it that way, Pete.
All right, let's get a gay on the line. Thank you for listening, sir. We appreciate it. Adam Driver, you say yay or nay, sir?
He is nay.
Nay.
Nay. Oh, now tell us why.
He comes off as, like, whiny and emo and gross. Yeah, he's not attractive.
What are you doing right now, Jose?
Changing the batteries in a flashlight? What's happening there?
I'm sitting in a car. I'm not moving. Okay. I pulled over just for this.
All right. Well, it was very noisy there for a minute.
All right. That is one nay from Jose.
I don't know if I agree. I think he was up to something.
There's a hand check needed there? Yeah.
I think you enjoyed talking about Adam Driver.
All right.
All right. We are 1-1. Thank you, Jose. Let's go to Whittier, please, line 3. This is Devora who joins us. Hi, Devora. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Happy New Year, my friend.
And to you, Devora.
You as well. All right. Adam Driver, we're at 1-1. Yay or nay?
Well, I am a lady. I'm wearing my lady shoes, and I say yay.
Yay!
Yay from the lady with the lady shoes.
What do you like best about Adam Driver?
Well, you know, I'm a teacher, and even my students, there's quite a few of my girl students who got the warms for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the big nose. Big noses are sexy on that.
Right? I agree. Oh. There's something about a schnoz. Yes. Right.
Well, you know what it translates to, ladies, so we'll keep it there.
Oh.
All right. Thank you.
Big hands and big nose. You know what they say.
All right, 2-1. Alicia, the nose is the nose attractive to you on him as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's just unique. It's different.
It is.
Let's try Kim. She's up next in LA, line 4, please. This could be the definitive vote if she is into Adam Driver. Hi, Kim. You have listened to the evidence so far. What do you roll?
I have to say nay.
Nay.
You're a nay.
Whoa. I'm sorry. I'm with Ralph. I like a manly man.
Yeah.
And he's just not it. Now he's got great eyes and a great chin, but the nose and the upper lip, no.
<It's> everything in between the eyes and the chin is a fail. No.
And it's also, I'm actually looking online right now at some pictures of him. And it's according to what the photographer's done.
Mm. Okay.
There's a couple of good pictures, but I think that has to do with the photographer.
He's got good angles and he's got bad angles. So you're still not giving him the benefit of the doubt. You're still a no on his attractiveness.
I am still a no.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
All right.
I think he's a little too slender, too. I think he needs a little meat on him. I think he needs to, you know, lift a weight or two.
Uh-huh.
Anyone nervous here at 2-2 about what's going to happen next?
If anyone's nervous, you need to have some professional
so
help.
So nervous.
Let's try Robin. She has got the final vote in Fullerton. She is on line 5. Robin, you're going to break some hearts here or make some people very happy based on your ruling on Adam Driver.
100% hot.
Wow. Hot!
Yes!
Absolutely.
Yes.
And tell me how come. What do you like about him?
He looks strong, and he's not whiny. He's tortured in that movie.
Yes, we want to fix him, Robin.
He's torn, and I want to fix him. I want to hold him and just cradle him.
Me too.
Yes.
And his feature, he has a big nose, and but that's, I don't know, it's strong. There is something about a nose. There's something about the way he is, and I'm also starting to watch girls because of him.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Robin, just remember what happened to the last guy who tried to help him and fix him, okay? The one who wanted to try to cradle him?
Oh, yeah.
Just remember. That's all I'm saying.
I would die in Adam Driver's arms.
Wow. That's an enthusiastic yes.
Could not have been a better fifth vote, that's for sure.
By the way, listener Tom writes in, Kevin and Bean, do not forget that Adam Driver is a former Marine.
Oh,
you guys know that?
Take me now, Adam Driver.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He is.
All right, Robin, thank you for the call. Yes. We appreciate you listening. Alicia, are you satisfied with the results of the scientific survey?
Yes, so satisfied. Everything Robin said is exactly how I feel.
That's awesome. All right. Well,
it's fact. Now you can tell people when you have this argument, shut up. It's fact.
Alicia, we really appreciate you listening on the podcast out there in Bakersfield. Thanks for contesting us, and thanks for making us do a scientific survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Ex-ambassadors on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, they are playing the Wiltern on March 25th. Tickets are still available. And as we know from seeing them at the Weenie Roast and then Acoustic Christmas, what a great live show those guys put on.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really entertaining. A lot of great stuff on that record, too. Hey, Ralph.
Hey.
You took your daughter to her first ever hockey game the other night.
I did.
I was fascinated by how she liked it in person.
Well, she loves hockey. We watch it at home on television all the time. I've got the center ice package from DirecTV.
And she's five?
She is. She's five. All right. So she sits with me and she watches hockey. She loves it. And so, you know, if she likes it on television, I knew that she would have a ball live, because it really is a much better sport live than it
Absolutely.
Is on television. Even though people complain about it on TV, I like it on TV. It doesn't bother me. But the live experience of a hockey game is just a blast. And so we saw that the Flyers were coming to town to play the Kings on January the 2nd. So I got a bunch of tickets for my wife and my kid and myself and a couple friends. And we all went down to Staples Center, which is a great place to watch hockey. They just got a great venue there. And we were really enjoying ourselves.
So you're raising her as a Flyers fan.
Well, of course.
Even though she's born and raised in Los Angeles, she's going to grow up as a Flyers fan because of Daddy.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how I was raised, too.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, man? It's sad.
That's why you have children, so you can mold them to do what you want them to do.
She's going to go through some pain.
It's going to be tough for her as a teenager, but go ahead. All right.
So, Santa brought her a Flyers shirt for Christmas. She was thrilled about that, and so she put on her gear, and I put on my Claude Giroux jersey, and my wife put on a Kings jersey. And,
I'm sorry, what? Your hot wife got even hotter in a Kings jersey.
Stupid Kings jersey. Yep. So we go down there, and it's a family outing. We're having a great time. Not a great time. It was 2-0 well into the third period, but a good time was had by most of us. And we're eating, and you're drinking beer and do all the stuff that you do at a hockey game. And then the Flyers finally scored on the power play. And those of us in the crowd that were rooting for the Flyers stood up en masse, as you do, when that red light goes off. And everybody was cheering and applauding. And there was a guy 2 rows in front of me on the aisle who lost his ass that we would have the effrontery to stand up and cheer because our team scored a goal. And he started screaming at guys down towards the plexiglass there, screaming at them, "Sit down! You have no class! You don't do that here! Shut up and sit down, you classless! Boop! 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 You!" And I'm like covering my daughter's ears, and this guy went off.
And they were just cheering. They weren't like, taunting. They weren't doing anything.
They weren't bits of soft pretzel at Bailey. They weren't throwing, you know, hoagies and cheesesteaks onto the ice.
That would be weird.
That'd be really cool, actually. They were doing no sort of belligerent behavior other than screaming and yelling and really whooping up for the fact that we finally put the biscuit in the basket, as they say. And it was stunning to me look, nobody's happy when your other team scores on you. Nobody is, right? There's a certain amount of head dropping and groaning. And the Flyers had some momentum, and it looked like they maybe could have tied it up. So I could see why this guy wasn't happy that the Flyers scored. But to lose his mind.
Yeah, that's
insane.
And
to act as if they had stepped over a line which is just the cardinal rule, which is you cannot cheer for your team if you're not the home team, just rocked my world. I couldn't believe how upset he was. And I thought to myself, is that a thing? I don't go to a lot of Kings games. Is that a thing where you're not supposed to be able to cheer for your team?
That's insane. He sounds a little not well in the head.
And were they too happy? Were they not just golf clapping? Were they too excited? I mean, so it made me think, what are the rules? What's the parameters that you have to stay within if you're a fan of the visiting team? What are you allowed and not allowed to get away with?
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. We will take calls on that, by the way, if you've got some rules in your own mind of what you think is and is not acceptable behavior for fans of the visiting team. We want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. You can always text the Kevin and Bean Show, too, at the number 2, K-R-O-Q. So in his mind, Ralph, we're just guessing, but in his mind, he would like to see 100% Kings fans in the arena. The only people who should be allowed to go to a game are people who are going to root for the home team in this guy's mind, it sounds like.
Or even weirder, I think, is what he thinks, is that those who do attend to watch the other team play need to sit in silence regardless
insane
of the outcome. That's
especially,
what I think he actually felt.
I think that's where he was going. But especially in a city like L.A. or New York or places where people move to, they are not all from Los Angeles. That's where you get all the different fans. And you get it makes it actually really fun for me when there's different fans from it. You can just kind of jab at them, have a little fun.
Yes,
it can go 0 to 100 real quick, but right, it sounds like he's nuts.
As a Philadelphia fan, there's not much that I don't think you can not do.
Yeah,
as a fan.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay,
and I think part of the fun is, and I've been to many sporting events in Philadelphia when I go there, part of the fun of having the opposing team is they mock you a little bit.
Absolutely.
When they do well, and you mock them a little bit when yeah, things go your way. And it's that byplay in the stands that adds an element of fun and
absolutely
excitement to the live event.
Absolutely.
In my opinion. So for this guy to be so upset, especially when the Kings were still in the lead. It wasn't like it was a blowout or something and these guys were just mocking them. It was simply that they were celebrating a goal being scored. And I felt bad because I was behind him, so he wasn't really directing it to me. But I am the a-hole during the game who's going, "Go Wayne!" When Simmons has the puck, you know, I'm screaming for individual players.
Right.
And I'm very vocal in a sea of silence when my team is doing well and when I'm the visitors. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just be quiet until they score and then maybe just text my joy. Maybe that's what the guy wanted me to do. Just hold up a sign with a smiley emoticon on it or something. I didn't know what he wanted.
Let's take Mark's call button again.
Oh.
Let's take Mark's call in Chino line 2, please. And then we've got some more calls we'll get to right after the break. But I want Mark to have first word up here on what's fan behavior. What should the fan behavior be if you are in the visiting section? I guess that's the question we're asking. Mark, you heard Ralph's experience at Staples Center the other night. What say you?
Yeah, I just feel like you get to a point where I think what Ralph is describing, if you're able to actually jaw back and forth a little bit, playful banter, that's great. The problem is that doesn't exist anymore. And you got people that are just insane, take it too far, have too much to drink, want to fight. So I've just basically adopted the mentality now of I'm going there as though I'm a guest in someone else's home. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. If I go to Dodger Stadium, I'm going to mind my manners so I don't get killed in the parking lot.
Well,
I'm just
going to
be polite.
Yeah, that, I mean, the Dodgers-Giants thing has kind of really brought this exact point that Ralph is making into sharp focus, which is it's gotten so out of control for so many people at sporting events. And as Allie likes to point out, it's as great as sports are and as much as we love sports, it's just a game.
It's a game. Calm down, people.
Right.
You're
it's
insane.
And it's, I think the home crowds have gotten less and less tolerant, too.
Yeah.
I agree.
I went to the Meadowlands and watched a Jets-Pats game, and I don't know if I was just lucky in the section I was in. We were having the best time just going back and forth, jabbing, buying each other beer, having the greatest time. That was about 10 years ago. If I went now, I don't think it would be the same. People have gotten crazy.
Thank you for the call, by the way, Mark. We really appreciate you listening. Allie, if you were going to a Patriots game in New York now, would you still wear a Patriots jersey?
Absolutely.
And you just take your chances?
Well, I'm a girl.
A Kevlar jersey, but a jersey nonetheless.
No, I would, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't be blatant about it and stupid about it.
Right.
I know where the line is. People don't anymore. That's the problem.
Right. All right. Great topic. We had a lot of calls. You hang on, Garrett and Liz and Matt and a bunch of others. 1-800-520-1067. What do you say? What's allowed and what's not allowed now when you go to a sporting event and you're not rooting for the home team? Your call's next on K-Rock. What are the rules, the do's and don'ts for fans who are not there at the sporting event rooting for the home team? Ralph was telling us a story about he and his family going as Flyers fans to see the Kings. And you were surprised a little bit by some of the behavior from Kings fans, right, Ralph?
I was just the behavior was fine. It wasn't like the Kings fans were badly behaved, but I was surprised by the outrage that some Kings fans had that we had the gall to celebrate when the Flyers scored their one and only goal in that game. It was inexplicable to me, especially as a Philadelphia fan, where
let's face it. I mean, you go after the other guy, and he goes after you, and that's part of the...
With a tire iron, usually, right?
Yeah, yeah, or a battery or a snowball or whatever you have available.
Scott writes in from Laverne, I will not go to an Angels game when they are playing Red Sox or Yankees because the visiting fans tend to outnumber the home fans, and it just sucks to be there. Perhaps that is what has led some home fans to behave in the manner that the Kings fans encountered by Ralph did, but that does not make it right. Go Kings, go, says Scott. All right, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Daniel will be up first. He's in Downey. He's on line 7. He wants to weigh in on this. Hey, Daniel, thanks for hanging on. We appreciate it, man. What do you got to say for it?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I'm a diehard Kings fan, have been since 82, and I want to say that that's not typical behavior of a true hockey fan. Hockey fans are more classy than that, and they don't normally act like that. I think this guy is a bandwagon fan, maybe a transplant from Dodger Stadium, because that's how they tend to act there. But hockey fans don't normally act like this.
So in other words, hockey fans usually are into a friendly rivalry among the other fans in the stand.
A little more back and forth.
It's the only sport where the two guys can beat the crap out of each other on the ice and buy each other a beer afterwards. I mean, that's just the culture.
All right, so that guy that Ralph saw was just a dick then.
Yeah, pretty much in my book, yeah.
Okay.
You know, us Kings fans have been through a lot, and we know how to take it when the other team scores. We've been through a lot of bad years.
Yeah, indeed. All right,
look,
Daniel,
everybody
thanks for the call.
It's an 80-game season. If you're a fan of any team, you're going to get your team's going to be scored on, and you're going to have to sit through it, and that's part of the deal, you know?
Right. Let's go to Matt. He's line 4 up next in Long Beach on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Matt, welcome to the program. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Morning. So, look, here's the unwritten rule. Been a season ticket holder for a long time. If your boy Wayne Simmons over there scores a goal, you stand up, you clap, you cheer, then you sit back down. That's acceptable behavior.
What's the time limit on that stand? How long can
you
stand?
And how many claps?
There,
yeah. You can stand up until the play resumes, basically. They drop the puck to the face-off center ice, you sit back down. That's basically your time limit.
Can you yell? Are you allowed to say anything?
Oh, yeah, and the bantering is cool. Yeah, absolutely. But as soon as you guys start cursing at each other, that's where you got to draw the line, dropping F-bombs. That's like the last caller said, it's a classy game. Well, classy people anyway. And, you know, that's just not how you should behave. The conclusion is appropriate. That guy is just a D.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that opinion. Let's try Jeremy Riverside up next, line 2 on the Kevin Beach Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going great, man. What do you got?
You know, I'm a Manchester United soccer supporter fan, and I went to go see them at the Galaxy at the Rose Bowl, and it was like stepping on eggshells dealing, you know, with the fans knowing that I was supporting the visiting team. It was like, you know, they couldn't score, you know, they were booing, you know, the opposite team. You know, I feel it's just like it's all a mixture. I say majority of LA sports fans are just poor sports when the other team scores. I've seen it at Dodger games, Laker games, all over. It's just, you know, it's like you have to show respect. If not, they try to, like, roll over you. And I think it's pathetic, you know. Like, come on, you know, you're probably from another state, another country. You want to see the team that you barely get to see, and they treat you like that? Come on. It's not right.
I want to point out, though, Jeremy, I don't know what your experience has been seeing games around the country, but you've drawn some conclusions about Los Angeles fans. Is that your only experience, is seeing games here?
No, I've seen games in, like, other states and stuff like that, but, if you're supporting us, an out-of-state team, out-of-country team, and if their home team's not doing too well, you basically get ridiculed in every way. It's just, you know, it's just not right. You know, like, come on, we come out there, we show respect. You know, when you guys score, we're not booing or, you know, none of that stuff. But all of a sudden, you know, when the opposite team wins, it's like you're stepping on eggshells with them, you know?
Gotcha. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Allie, do you see much difference in Southern California fans versus other fans around the country?
I think around the country, and I've gone to a lot of different sporting events, there's a lot more give and take, and there's a lot more back and forth. But again, people take it way too far now. It's the culture has changed recently, and it's going in a bad direction. But
if you can't, of America,
absolutely. But if you can't go to a game and have fun, stand up and cheer for your team that you're rooting for, and someone's going to scream at you, come on.
Yeah, I think short of profanity or violence, almost anything goes.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was Flyers fans there, and they, obviously they bought tickets as a group or whatever, and they came out, and they were in the upper seats. But periodically, they would start the "Let's go Flyers." They would start that, and people would go crazy.
That's insane.
Shut up. It's like that, it's a small little voice coming from the top of the arena, and that's not bothering anyone.
However, next year under President Trump, every one of those games will be armed,
sit
so
out.
It'll be fine.
It will be great.
All right, we'll be right back.
Let's talk Donald Trump for a minute. He gets all the media coverage in the world in his campaign to be our next president. I'm actually surprised he is now spending money on a TV campaign, aren't you?
Yeah, you'd think he's got this locked up in his head.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't, until this month, he had not spent any money on TV campaigns. All the other candidates have been running ads for a long time. But he is putting his own cash into it. And it kind of surprised me a little bit that his first commercial kind of emphasized some of the things that many people had problems with. His very controversial stance, particularly when it comes to Muslims and comes to Mexicans, he put right there in his first ad. If you didn't hear it, and there's a reason I'm bringing this up, if you didn't hear it, here's a little bit of Donald Trump's first campaign ad that he paid for.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
The politicians can pretend it's something else, but Donald Trump calls it radical Islamic terrorism. That's why he's calling for a temporary shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until we can figure out what's going on. He'll quickly cut the head off ISIS and take their oil. And he'll stop illegal immigration by building a wall on our southern border that Mexico will pay for.
We will make America great again.
I'm starting to think that he's an evil genius, by the way, who's able to come up with a commercial that is so offensive to so many people that the media can't help but cover it for free, mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of times more than he has to buy ad campaign for. I mean, this thing was played nonstop for a week after it was released, and that was all free to Donald Trump.
Right.
So people have thought, well, this is his first ad, is saying all these things that you'd think would be so divisive, and he continues to get more and more popular. Well, it's just the beginning. We have found out that a new series of Donald Trump commercials are getting ready to hit the airwaves all over America, and I think we've got some of those. Here's the first one.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Let's face it. Donald Trump doesn't like Muslims.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
Not to mention, they're scary. And so Donald Trump will keep Muslims out of America to make white people feel safer. Hey, Muslims.
Sit down.
Donald Trump 2016. Making America great again and making whitey feel safe.
We will make America great again.
So making whitey feel safe now apparently is part of the campaign ad.
I mean, at least he's saying it.
I mean,
right?
He's saying it, right?
Right?
He's not hiding, shrinking from his position as so many politicians do. I guess that's why he's different. All right, so he continues to ratchet up the rhetoric. Here's another of the new Trump ads.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
A lot of Donald Trump's enemies have been standing up lately, saying that his campaign promises are insane. Well, Donald Trump has one thing to say to them.
Sit down.
Donald Trump will build a wall between the United States and Mexico, and Mexico will pay for it. Why?
They're losers. They're just losers.
That's right. Only losers pay for things. So don't stand up for a better America.
Sit down.
Sit down to make America great.
We will make America great again.
So wait, we're supposed to sit down to make America great and not pay for things because if we pay for things, we're losers?
What I got from it.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I'm confused, but let's move on. Yet another Trump campaign ad.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Donald Trump knows.
We need to build a wall.
That good fences make good neighbors. So in order to make Mexico a good neighbor,
we need to build a wall.
And while we're talking about it, how about those Canadians?
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime.
Oh.
They're rapists.
They're even more dangerous because they look just like us. They can blend in anywhere. Taking our women, our jobs, playing hockey.
We need to build a wall.
That's right. Donald Trump wants a wall between America and Canada. And Canada will pay for it.
And what about Florida? Seems like there's a lot of weirdos down there.
We need to build a wall.
Detroit? That's a scary city.
We need to build a wall.
How do you feel about your ex-wife?
We need to build a wall.
Donald Trump 2016. Because let's face it, there's no problem a wall can't cure.
We will make America great again.
It's going to be a very different America when he's inaugurated. It sounds like we're going to have a lot of walls, but I think he might be right about that Florida thing, though. Still to come, screening passes for a little movie we like to call Star Wars. Why do we like to call it that?
It's the name of the movie.
It's the name of the movie,
yeah.
Right? Plus, we'll give you a Guitar Hero Live for either PlayStation or Xbox coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. That is all straight ahead. But first, I want to talk about something. I was sitting next to the delightful Mallory, Miss Double December 2016, at the show last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about our mutual love for Taylor Swift. And she was telling me how many times she's tried to meet Taylor Swift when she goes to the concert. She tries to figure out what way she's going to enter, where she's going to leave, where she's going to go when she's, you know, running around the arena doing the show, because she wants to meet Taylor Swift. And I started thinking about, lots of people have that feeling. I got to meet that celebrity. I really have to tell them how much they mean to me, or I have to shake their hand, I have to get a picture, or whatever it is. Sometimes it doesn't go well. And sometimes maybe it's best to just be a fan from afar and not blow it.
Well, I think part of the problem is if it's somebody that you really, really love, you can't summarize that. There's no way to talk about everything that person means to you. And so it just goes south.
And you just end up wasting their time because what are they really getting out of? If you're a huge star, what are they getting out of? You know, if you're Tom Hanks and another person comes up and says, hey, I really enjoy your acting. You're so good. And you seem like a nice man. I mean, it's it's good. It's good that people feel that way. But you're kind of wasting their time. Like, what's Tom Hanks get out of that? Right?
Yeah.
Not much.
He's probably heard it 8,000 times already that day.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of a delicate thing when you're in your mind, you're thinking, do I want to meet this person? And if so, why?
If they're a hero, I would think, just meet him, but lower your expectations. You're just going to say hi, and they'll never know how much you love them, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Although that wasn't the case when you met Magic Johnson, right?
Well, I mean...
I mean, I think that's something he's probably still thinking about, because he's met a lot of Laker fans, but never one who really tried as hard as you did.
Yeah, we were at LA Live. There was a party. I didn't know he was there, and I bumped into him. So then I turned around with no time to think, bumped into Magic Johnson, and he was looking at me, smiling. And I said, you're great. That's what I was able to come up with. And he said, thank you very much. He was very kind and just happy and moved on. And I just walked right for the exit. I was like, oh, come on. You're great.
Now, do you wish you hadn't said anything?
No, I mean, he seemed like he received it well.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I had said something better.
Right, exactly.
I wish something better came out of my mouth.
We're going to take calls, by the way. If you had an awkward celebrity encounter, you ran into somebody or even went out of your way to try to meet someone and it left this reviewer cold, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Your awkward celebrity encounter, in retrospect, you wish it either hadn't happened or had happened differently. Allie?
Yeah. I was 16. Working at Ben & Jerry's, and in walked John Bon Jovi. And I loved Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm.
So my manager says, Allie, why don't you help this gentleman? I'm like, oh, okay. So as I'm scooping his order, I'm thinking, tell him how much you love him. Tell him you wanted to move to New Jersey to be near him. You love the song Silent Night. You want that at your wedding. Oh, just tell him. It'll be great.
My response to every one of those is don't tell him.
Yeah, I literally looked up and said, I scooped around and gave you extra cookie dough. And I handed it to him. And I walked away.
Well done.
I couldn't look at him. I couldn't take his money.
Really?
I walked directly to the back. And I heard my manager go, okay, is that it for your order? Couldn't even function after that. It's the worst.
Because you were embarrassed by what you said?
Yeah, it was a total.
Because what you said to him was actually pretty cool, which is, it's kind of the shorthand for, hey, I'm a big fan, so let me do something for you.
I mean, it was a loser move.
You didn't say it well.
No, I literally said, I scooped around and gave you extra cookie dough. So dumb.
Hey, Dave or Christine, could you pick up the phones in there real quick, please? Because we're taking some calls on this. 1-800-520-1067 for awkward celebrity encounters. So you wish you hadn't said anything at all?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Because it was that bad. And it was one of those, remember in Dirty Dancing when Baby Houseman said, I carried a watermelon, and then was like, oh, it was my I carried a watermelon moment. Just such, like he thought about it ever again. But
right.
To me, what a loser.
You should have spent, instead of worrying about the ice cream, you should have spent a little more time trying to look 18 is what you should have been doing.
Dang it.
Right?
You're right.
Yeah. All right, Mugs.
So you all know my buddy Randy, right?
Sure.
Oh,
Randy.
Randy's our favorite.
I was hanging out with him at this bar we go to all the time. And John Elway walks into the door.
Whoa, that's a big name.
Everybody notices. So Randy takes it upon himself to walk up to him, extends his arm to shake his hand, and proceeds to say, John Elway, great quarterback. That's it. John Elway kind of looked at him like, okay, yeah.
It's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Look, that's not terrible.
Yeah. But here's what I really want to know.
Great quarterback.
And this is why this is such a delicate situation when you meet a celebrity. Had Randy had an hour to think about it, what could he have come up with that would have made the moment meaningful?
Nothing.
I mean, realistically,
probably
there's nothing
you can say to them that's going to make the moment work.
Maybe you would say it a little bit better, like I watched you all those years playing, or you know, meant a lot to me.
But again, millions of people are fans of John Elway and have watched him play for years. I mean, you're not saying anything new or different or interesting,
right? But you're not trying to entertain them. You're just meeting them and saying thanks for what you do.
Yeah, I agree. Randy's a fail. Yeah.
I think that is a fail.
Indeed. Fail.
All right, let's take a call real quick. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Irene in industry to get us going. Line 3, please, if you wouldn't mind. We're talking about awkward celebrity encounters here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Irene. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi. Yeah. So I met Wesley Snipes when I was about 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he was signing my piece of paper because I wanted his autograph. He said to me, "Oh, nice ring." And all I could say was, Whoa, which one?
Wow. So he was starting a conversation with you to make it less awkward, and you couldn't even come back and say something to him.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah. Good times. Do you wish you had it to do over again, and would you have said anything?
Oh, yeah.
You would have.
I would have, yeah.
After the fact. It's pretty easy. All right, thanks, Irene. Appreciate that. Let's go to line two, please, and get our friend Kristen on from Hollywood. Hey, Kristen, thanks for calling the Kevin Beach Show. Awkward celebrity encounter. What happened?
Hey, so I was seat filling at the Grammys, and we went in once. We had to go through, like, a side door, and as we're going, I crossed paths with Zach Braff, and it was, like, the height of scrub. And he was walking in with Kate Hudson and the guy from the Black Crowes that she was married to. And I just yelled, "You're Zach Braff!"
So you told him who he was?
I did. As if he hadn't known. And all three of them looked at me and stared like I was, I don't know, a fighter, and walked away. And I was like, oh.
You're Zach Braff. That's awesome.
That is awesome. And it's also understandable because what happened there is the thought that was going through your mind couldn't help but escape from your lips, because that's all you were thinking in that moment is, oh, my God, you're Zach Braff.
Yeah, I was so excited. Scrubs was like my favorite show ever.
That's hilarious. That's great. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. Let's go to Cindy. She has a similar story on line 5, and it's with our friend Dave Grohl, by the way, Anyone who's ever been lucky enough to meet Dave Grohl knows that it is always a beautiful experience. You almost can't go wrong meeting Dave Grohl, right?
Yeah. Cindy, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you met Dave Grohl.
Yeah, I was at the Queen of the Stone Age concert. It was the last show for the Gibson, I believe. And my friend was front row center, and I was in Orc, so I'm going to go visit her in front row center. So I'm walking by the mixing board like...
Phones just died. Just lost their phones. Oh, that's too bad.
That's not ideal.
She was good. She, similar to your Zach Braff, she went up to Dave Grohl and she said, "You're you.
It's you."
That's awesome. All right. We'll get the phones restarted. Try again. 1-800-520-1067. Awkward celebrity encounters. That's what we're talking about on the Kevin and Bean Show. Give us a call. The King of Tustin writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, my wife and I were at the Laughlin River Run and we saw REO Speedwagon. The following day in an elevator, just as the doors close, a foot comes through the door and opens the door again, and it's a guitar player from the band. I recognized him instantly. I said, 'I really enjoyed the show last night.' He says, 'Thank you.' And then I said, 'It's so good you guys got back together again.' He looks at me, he puts his head down, looks at me a little angrily, and then says, We never broke up.
Sweet. Ooh.
My wife could have shrunk right into the corner, but I looked at him and said, nobody told me. Just one of those funny things that happens. So Ardo Speedwagon was off the radar for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And this guy thought, just assumed they were broken up, but they just weren't making it, I guess. So that's probably an encounter he wishes he could take back.
Sure.
Right?
And the first part was good.
Yeah, it was going fine. He should have just cut his losses after I really enjoyed the show last night. So we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067.
What he should have done is not gone to Ardo Speedwagon.
Maybe he just couldn't fight that feeling, though.
Oh, you go right
Maybe
to
he's
hell.
Going to keep on loving them. Mm. Hey, let's take some calls. Let's go to line six, please. Let's go to Vicky in Los Alamitos. She was just at Acoustic Christmas this weekend. She had her own awkward celebrity encounter this weekend. Hey, Vicky.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Who'd you run into?
Hey, we ran into Mark Hoppus from Blink.
Uh-huh.
And I just was awestruck. I walked up to him and I said, you're awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to say.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And what did he say back? Like, he must hear that a lot, where just people come up and just gush over him. So what was his response?
He was super nice. I actually said, hey, we saw you with Mumford at the Troubadour. He goes, oh, awesome, great. And I said, I was just like, awesome.
Yeah.
And I said, have a great night. And he kind of walked away. He was super cordial.
Yeah, he's really, really a nice guy.
Nicest guy. Yeah,
he is. Really. Yeah.
All right.
Lucky.
Thank you for calling very much. Let's try, let's go to line four, please. Let's get our man Manny on from Whittier.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Talking about awkward celebrity encounters. You run into somebody, and then you kind of wish it had gone differently. What happened to you?
Big time. Yeah, so me and my wife went out. This is years back. We went to Buena Park to, like, I don't know, AMC or something. It was a movie theater. So we go inside, whatever. We get our tickets and stuff, and I look over to the side, and I see Jose Canseco. It was him, dude, Jose Canseco. He's with some small little girl. I mean, she looked, like, underage, and he was holding hands and stuff. So I was like, what the hell? Wearing this goofy sweater and these big Seinfeld sneakers, you know? So I go.
You got a lot of detail about this. A lot of detail about how he was dressed.
Sorry, man. So I go up to him and I'm like, dude, Jose Canseco, what's up, man? And he kind of looks at me and he like rolls his eyes and he's like, no, it's not me.
Oh.
I go, Jose Canseco. I go, come on, man. And he's like, no, it's not me. He's
wait,
like, yeah,
wait, you were questioning him like he was just denying it, but it was really him?
Yeah, it was kind of, I thought he was going to be like, yeah, what's up, it's me or something, and be cool about it, but he was a total douche, and I was like, hey, come on, dude, like, all right, whatever. At that point, like, I was like, okay, man, whatever, I don't really care. So I started walking away, and he followed me. This guy followed me, and he's like, hey, so I look like him, and I was like, yeah, man, and he's like, well, I get that all the time, but that guy's a monster. He's like 7 foot something. He eats babies for breakfast, blah, blah. He just started going on and on, and I was like,
okay,
all right, cool, man, whatever.
So this guy was or was not Jose Canseco?
It definitely was him. It was him.
It was him. And you like, think, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, it was totally him, dude, because he had like a, I remember he had like some big old liver spot on his hand, and I remember Googling it after, and it was him. Like, it was,
this is the most.
He was not letting it go.
Indefinite analysis I've ever heard. Manny does not miss a detail.
It was awesome.
He's Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. All right, Manny. I hope we don't ever get your crosshairs or get on your bad side.
Yeah,
Manny,
I'm a good witness. That's
for sure. We'll shake you. Jesus. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Manny.
Let's go to line eight, Megan in Newport Beach. Oh, how hot must Megan be? Her name's Megan. B, she's in Newport Beach.
I think you're missing.
That's a powerful combination.
You're sidetracked here, B. We're talking about celebrity encounters.
I'm sorry, Megan. I was distracted by your beauty. Well, what's your story?
Hi guys. I met Dave Chappelle when I was 21. I was pretty drunk at the time, and my friend and I went up to him, and I told him, oh, my God, I'm so in love with you. You have no idea. I've loved you since you were in Con Air. And he goes, oh, I didn't even know people remembered I was in that movie. I was like, oh, my God, I swear, I'm so in love with you. And he was, you know, just kind of sitting there, but I kept gushing and gushing. Like, I would marry you. I love you. And he's like, I'm married. And he just walked away.
Wow.
I'm married. So he thought you were hitting on him, not just being a gushing fan. Were you hitting
she
on
was,
him?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that sounds like that's on you then. That's not awkward at all. That went the way it should have went. All right.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Ozito. He's in Rancho Cucamonga. Now, Kevin, you told us your Magic Johnson story.
Yes.
And how you wish it had gone differently.
Well, I mean, I did say you're great.
You're great, right.
That's it.
Ozito also met the great Magic Johnson.
Oh.
Let's see how it went for him.
Ozito.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi there.
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
I was walking through the Dodger suite, my wife and I, and I see a big old tall black guy, and I'm 6'6 as well, so I usually don't see tall guys like me. So as we're getting closer, I'm like, oh my God, it's Mama. Instead of calling him Magic Johnson, I call him Michael Jackson.
Wait, you said to him, hi, Michael Jackson?
Yeah. I was like, I was stuttering. I was pointing at him and just staring at him. And yeah, I was like, you're Michael. And in my mind, I was, you're Magic Johnson.
But yeah.
In reality,
it came out Michael Jackson.
So what did he say? Jackson.
And he's all like, hey, man, nice to meet you. And I'm like, can I take a photo? And he's like, yeah, glad. He's real cool about it. And then as we're taking the photo, I'm just staring at him with my mouth open. And I told him, you're my hero.
I really love Thriller.
I really like Thriller. I was really starstruck. I don't know what to say, what to do.
That is awesome.
You did the right thing.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Hey, let's do one more. Let's go for Magic to Kobe. We got Chris line 8. He's in L.A. Let's find out. You meet a guy like Kobe. I mean, that's a pretty huge superstar.
Kobe called him Webster.
How do you not screw it up? Chris, how'd you blow it with Kobe Bryant?
Hey guys, huge Hi. Fan. So I'm in like third grade. I'm a huge Kobe fan. I got to the game early. All these kids, pretty much just being like ushered onto the court. So I snuck on with these kids. Kobe Bryant then comes out, starts signing autographs for all the kids. I had one of those. It's like one of those Sharpies that you sort of like shake up before you use it.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I go over to Kobe. It's my turn to get his autograph. And he sort of, like, holds the pen, but he puts the pen out for me to, like, take the cap off.
Right.
And so I go to pull the cap off. The whole pen explodes all over his hand. And he's, like,
sweet.
He's, like, partially being interviewed at the same time. So as he's being interviewed, this one, like, one of the towel boys, like, runs over. Like, the silver pen is leaking all over his hand, all over the court, and just everywhere, and I never got his autograph.
Never got the autograph, but at least you gave him mercury poisoning. So good work. I hate myself that I didn't think of this, and the listener, Rob, who pointed out the confusion with Manny and Jose Canseco,
right?
The story he was telling us about whether the guy really was, could have been Jose's twin brother, Ozzy.
Identical twin,
who was also a Major League Baseball player I totally forgot about. And if I remember correctly, there was some sort of controversy about some sort of paid appearance that Jose Canseco was supposed to be at, and he sent his brother.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like an autograph, meet and greet, or something like that. So who knows if you run into one of those guys, which one it is, or whether they're going to tell you the truth, because that kind of makes sense what Manny was saying about how the guy started bagging on Jose Canseco. So, anyway,
yeah.
I don't know if that's mystery solved or if that just confuses the issue even more, but I just had to bring up, yeah, thanks to listener Rob who let us know that Jose did have a brother. Robert Martinez from Pasadena, thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. We are going to hook you up with a pair of tickets for the Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. Your chance to win all week long. Details at krock.com. Time for...
That's That Info Bean.
Oh, God.
During the
about
during the commercials and during the songs that you guys get to hear, we have to hear Bean talk.
Yeah, don't ever complain about us playing Red Hot Chili Peppers again ever.
Because
at
worse
least
for us.
You get to hear that. Right. You don't have to hear this.
So Bean's, he's reading on the internet and stuff, and he has conversations with us that none of us care about.
Now define conversations with us.
All right, he says a sentence. Right?
He has conversations with himself out loud.
And then nobody answers. The rule is don't answer because he's just bringing up a topic out of nothing. Nobody's talking about it. We're not having a conversation about it. Just out of the blue, okay. Bean says something.
Right. But can I say, let me just say something by means of, in my defense and as a disclaimer, it's called office chit-chat, you guys.
Right.
It goes on everywhere in every workplace around the world. People talk to their people who are nice and friendly talk to their coworkers.
But here's the thing that I want to tell you is that Allie and I talk to each other, and Ralph and I talk to each other, and Chip and Allie, and Chip and Ralph, and me and Dave the King of Mexico.
Every
and
other dynamic in the office.
Everybody else has a good time with it. But you say things that aren't conversations and we don't care about.
Right.
So I write them down verbatim, and they are...
That's That Info Bean!
And we do not need further clarification.
Right, but sometimes I feel like you just don't get what I'm
we
trying
do,
to get
We
at.
Get it. Let's just let that be a caveat right at the top. We get it.
So Allie, by the way, a lot of times he'll point it at somebody he thinks he'll get a response from.
Sure.
So So, Ali, I was in Finland visiting Santa Claus, the OG Santa Claus. Now, right there.
That's like, not office chit-chat, by the way.
And the first little kid that approached was German, and Santa Claus spoke to him in German. And then the next kid was speaking French, and Santa spoke to him in French. It was amazing. No one said anything. Then a kid started talking some European language I didn't recognize, and Santa spoke to him in his language. When it was my turn, was waiting in line with kids for Santa Claus.
God.
When it was my turn, I walked up to him and spoke to him in English, and he spoke English back to me. Nothing. It was one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life.
Thanks for that info, B.
How is that?
Thanks for that info,
B. Interesting story. It was magical.
That some dude knows many languages. That's the point of your story. There's a guy who knows a lot of languages.
I just thought the fact that Santa Claus can talk to every little kid in his own language is such a sweet thing.
Yeah, it wasn't Santa Claus. It was a guy who knew a lot of languages.
You said it was one of the greatest things that's ever happened in your life.
I stand by that.
You were standing in line, by the way, to talk to Santa Claus.
More troubling. Probably elbowing little kids out of the way.
My turn. That's my candy cane.
Than you.
You already got a candy cane. That one's mine.
That's that info bean.
I can't believe I have to wait till Friday to buy the new Owl City album.
Oh,
and again, we weren't talking about albums we wanted to buy or music.
Or City,
nothing.
What are you doing Friday?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
If I wasn't married, I'd have the greatest Taylor Swift podcast in the world.
Because his wife Donna has a strict no Taylor Swift podcast.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Their prenup, does he lose money or something if he starts one?
Ralph is going to make your head explode. Guys. This just comes out of the blue again, so understand that. Guys, do you think we should be spending millions of dollars on American libraries?
Thanks for that info, B.
Hey, that's your tax dollars at work, by the way. Just saying, most of what's in a library is on the internet by now.
Yesterday... Guys, yesterday was International Citizens Band Radio Day.
Oh, son of a bitch.
No one said anything, so there was a pause.
Of course not. And who would say anything?
And then Bean said, because it was 10-4. No one said anything, and then... which is the international symbol for, is this on?
Right.
October 4th, guys.
Bean.
10-4 is International CB Radio Day.
I just took a how much do you know about Pluto quiz on CNN? Allie.
What?
Really? How did you do?
Oh, Allie.
Right? The rule is you do not respond.
Allie, you do not engage.
Bean says, 7 out of 7. No one said anything. Bean said, it's kind of my thing.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Look, there are very few quizzes that I can nail.
Thanks for that
was
info,
one.
Bean.
Imagine if Santa Claus knew Pluto facts. It would be beyond the greatest day of his life.
And finally, when they say something is a 1,000-year flood, how do they know?
That was yesterday.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
So we're saying
your point?
We understand.
Bring it home for me.
We understand what you're
saying.
What
are you trying to tell me?
But what you're saying is not interesting to any of us.
All right. Noted.
Thanks for that info, B.
Quick reminder, by the way, coming up later on between now and the end of the show, courtesy of our friends at The Last Witch Hunter, starring Vin Diesel in theaters tomorrow, is the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. It's going to be a week from tomorrow night, October 30th at the El Rey Theater. A lot of K-Rock DJs are going to be there. $5,000 costume contest. Cage the Elephant is performing. Peking Duck and DJ Jeremiah Red as well. And we want you to be there. So between now and the end of the show, give you another chance to call in and win. Plus, get all the details for the Halloween Ball at krock.com.
Not sure what brought up this topic of your parents got into your social media. I think it was a parent like commenting on a story. Was it Justin Bieber's dad?
Well, that did happen recently and got us talking about it. Justin Bieber had those
paparazzi naked photos that came out of him in Bora Bora with his wiener swinging in the wind. And you would think that that would be an embarrassing thing for any young person and for his parents as well. But Justin Bieber's dad hopped onto Bieber's Instagram page, I think, basically, and said, "Hey, what do you feed that thing?"
Yeah.
Hashtag proud daddy. Now, first of all, your father should never be commenting on your penis.
Agreed.
First of all. Second of all, certainly not online to humiliate you in front of, in Justin Bieber's case, tens of millions of people, right? There's no way Justin Bieber was happy with that remark.
I don't
know. He may be famous, but he's still a kid who has to be totally embarrassed by his father stepping in this situation, right?
I would think so, but having said that, it's all, I mean, it really is all about him having a big penis, which you would think maybe he's not so upset about.
You want to hear that from Selena Gomez.
Yes, I agree.
You don't want to hear that from your father.
Agreed.
So here's what we thought might be interesting is to talk to you, the Kevin DeBean listener, at 1-800-520-1067 about the times that your parents have gotten into your social media feed where they have posted something that you wish they hadn't, something that was embarrassing perhaps, something that you know, upset you, or you've upset them by something that they've seen. And I think this is a conversation that has to be going on a million times a day in this country, which is, Mom, don't follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Dad, you've got no business being on Snapchat. Look, my wife is on Facebook, and she is friends with, you know, my dad on Facebook. And all the time, he completely misunderstands and is confused and upset by things that she and her friends are talking about because they're very much from a different generation. Like, you know, Donna is, you know, good friends with, you know, our token blacklister, Anel. And they do stuff all the time on the Facebook page that's race-related.
Right.
And they're really good friends, and they get it, and their friends all get it. But my dad is just horrified by the things that are said on that Facebook page. He's like, you can't say things like that to an African American. And she's like, you don't understand our relationship, Dad. We're friends and he's cool and I'm cool. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need your dad, or in her case, father-in-law, in the mix on a story like that.
Yeah, nothing good can come from that.
Nothing good can come from
that. I haven't had my parents, post anything. But when I went to the U.S.-Mexico game at the Rose Bowl, I tweeted a picture, I think it was on Instagram actually, a picture of our goalie getting in a fight with most of the Mexican team, and everybody was around him, and it was a big scene, and I was like, I'm not one to, you know, make things worse, but I'm going to regulate if I need to. And I was just putting it out there, I was trying to be funny, and I got a text from my mom going, are you all right? And I thought, well, I'm not sure, but I don't want to be asked that by you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It was
your mom
weird.
Your mom didn't need to step in, because if you needed to take down the Mexican team, Kevin, you're capable
right.
of taking down the Mexican team
and
on your own, right?
And the 99,000 fans that were there. Yes.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it may not have been the safest ever, but it is troubling. Like, she didn't, thank God she didn't comment publicly.
Right.
Like, that seems
yeah,
to
thank
be
God
the step.
It was a text, at least. Yeah.
That seems to be the step that really just makes things terrible.
So, again, we want to hear from you if there's been a problem with you saying or doing something on social media that your parents got upset by, or your parents doing something in your feed that got you upset, in trouble, or whatever you wish they hadn't, or they embarrassed you or something like that. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. How do you handle it when obviously your parents want to be in, they want to see your social media posts? A lot of times, you know, you move away from home or whatever, they don't see you as much in person as they'd like to, so they want to kind of keep up with your life and what you're doing. You can't not add them to your circles, right? I mean, they've got to be in the mix.
No.
I mean,
you know what? I don't want them in the mix.
I don't. No, Mom, I don't have a Facebook page.
Do you want your mom reading your Twitter?
No.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
only
I mean, I don't
bad can come from that.
Right. But how do you get out of that? My question to you is, if your mom says, hey, what's your Twitter? What's your
I
Instagram?
Say I'm not on Twitter or Instagram.
But what if she knows you are? You can't not let her see it. I mean, look, that's why this is tough. That's why misunderstandings happen. And that's why we know that you, the Kevin DeBean listeners, are going to come through. Let's start with Lauren, please, up first. Line one, she's in Los Alamitos, and she joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for listening. What's going on?
So my mom and my sister, they wanted to go on this reality show. It was called Flip Trip. And so what we were supposed to do is we were supposed to
Skype with the producers to see if they liked us, if they wanted to do it. But during that time, you know, I really wasn't ready to be on a reality show. I really wasn't interested. So the time that we had our interview, it was like super early in the morning. They're like, okay, you know, you're going to be there. Like, we have to do this. So I ended up just like not showing up.
Right.
So my mom and my sister were freaking out. They're like, Warren would never do this. We just don't know what to do. So they went into my Facebook and they went all over my social media, basically saying that I had been held hostage, that I was with some guy. And
Wait. So you were supposed to show up to something and you didn't, and so they started posting?
Yeah, so they're like, she was last seen with this guy. We think she's been abducted.
Did they call you or text you?
They did. I may not have answered it, but...
Okay, all right. So they went on and just got everybody in your social network circles just fired up thinking something had really happened to you, like you were in trouble.
And everyone was like, no, she's fine. She's probably still hungover. Like, you don't need to worry.
I like all of your friends are now jumping in and going, no, she's good. Lauren's good.
So she decided to call the cops. And I live in Orange County, and he lived in Valencia at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he called the cops and said that I was being held hostage against my will.
Oh, my God.
So,
your mom is a nightmare.
She is awful. So she's a psychologist, if that makes any help. So we wake up to the cops, like, knocking on his door, and they're like, is Lauren here, freaking out? So I come to the door, I'm like, hey, how's it going? It was awful.
And did they have guns drawn at that point?
No, not at that point. They're just like, you know, we're really concerned. So people still come up to me and they're like, hey, you know, like, we heard you were, like, held hostage. Like, are you okay? Did things work out for you? I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Why would your mom do that?
I get that she's worried.
Crazy.
She is crazy. I get that she's worried, but that's not the way to handle it, is to go on your Facebook page and talk about it. That's for sure.
So now I log out.
Maybe
every time.
Maybe text her back, Lauren.
Yeah, no. Maybe so. Hey, Mom, I'm fine. You know, yeah. I just don't want to be on a reality TV show. All right, thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Anna, you hang on. We're going to get you first when we come back, and everybody else, too. 1-800-520-1067. Don't forget, you can always text the Kevin and Bean Show, too, at the number 2-KROQ. That's 25767. Your calls and more right after this on K-Rock. We're going to talk to comedian actor David Spade coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, we're talking about your parents got into your social media feed. Here's a couple of texts real quick before we go to the phones from the 323. I have a cousin who will comment or question everything I post on social media. It's the most annoying thing ever. Do not add family on social media. But again, I ask Mr. 323, how do you get around it? Johnny writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, my mom is on Facebook and I'm constantly making her eyes burn. My family is a devoted conservative Christian family and I am a liberal agnostic. I got into it with my aunt when she got upset because I posted a pro-gay cartoon. I don't care if somebody doesn't like my post. They don't have to follow me, even family. Wow, it sounds like a lot of tension with the social media and your parents, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's try it. Let's try Anna Pomona, line 2, to get us going, get some phone calls on the air. Hi, Anna. Thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning. I have a question. What happens if it's the other way around?
What does that mean?
I'm alone with my father's posting.
What happens
if... Say that again? He's what?
He posts stuff that you have a problem with?
Yes. He posts... Well, earlier this year, the reason how I found out my parents were divorcing was because of the posts that he was posting. He was posting, you know, those Tumblr quotes. If you weren't there at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. You know, and it went to liking, then it went to sharing. And then he started liking these other girls' pictures. And I'm like, what are you doing? I finally had to call him out on it. And that's when they said, oh, you know, we're separating.
That is not how to find out. Did you say, Dad, how about a phone call?
I deleted my Facebook.
Yes, I think that's better than watching your dad creep on other girls on social media. All right, Anna, well done. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Jessica, Los Angeles, line 3, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for calling. What happened?
Hey, so you know how everyone has that, like, crazy, wild aunt that just says inappropriate things and does inappropriate things at parties?
I love that aunt.
That's my mom.
Oh, no.
And
okay.
So she says really embarrassing things all the time, but giving her a public forum to post it on is just pretty much the worst thing that could ever happen to me.
So
what kind of stuff does she post?
Okay, so I have her blocked, so I can never see it, but I get screenshots from my friends.
They're doing the right thing. Go ahead.
Of course, because they love to humiliate me as well. And so on June 22nd, I don't know if you knew this, but it was National No Panty Wearing Day. And my mom made sure to post that and tell all her fellow, as she calls them, cochinas, to not wear panties. And I have a friend who was like, oh my God, I'm going to blow this up and post this all over everywhere. And I'm just like, you guys are the worst.
And she does
it all the time, these horrible things. And she'll make sex jokes and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm your child. Can you not?
Yeah. Look, this is always a delicate balance because it's hard for anyone to imagine that parents are humans too and they do have sex. But you never, ever, ever want to hear about it from your parents. You don't want to know if your mom's not wearing panties. You don't need to know that.
Exactly. And I don't think the rest of Facebook needs to know that. It's like, cool, mom, you want to let it breathe, have at it. But you don't need to tell us about it.
Let it breathe in private.
Exactly. Thank you, Jessica. Great call. Let's go to Mandy, line 7. She's in Long Beach. By the way, Mandy is a name you can add to that list of all girls named Mandy are hot, just so you know. Mandy, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's going on?
Hey, so my dad, he made a Snapchat, and I added him on accident somehow, and I actually snuck out with my now boyfriend, but at the time he was not.
Right.
So I snuck out with him, and I posted some pictures on it, and I totally got caught by my dad, and I didn't end up coming home until 2 in the morning. So I got in a lot of trouble from that, and even when he did catch me from that, I tried to lie my way out of that too.
Yeah.
So it was pretty bad.
I gotta be honest.
A lot of trouble.
I gotta be honest. I feel like that's on you.
Yeah.
You're sneaking out of the house with a boyfriend and putting it on Snapchat?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that you would never think your dad would have the account, but.
Yeah. So it was my fault, but it was. Yeah, I don't understand why he needed Snapchat. Yeah. He's not.
Well, now we know. He needed Snapchat because his daughter's a whore. That's why.
21 Pilots.
Or Palms, if you're Kevin, on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, you want to go to Mexico to see Muse in Mexico City? You want to win a 2015 Dodge Challenger? You want a $500 Hot Topic gift card? All that can be possible if you pick up the new K-Rock Summer Sticker for 2015. It's available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. Also, don't forget today from 1 till 3, you can find K-Rock and the Hot Topic in West Covina in the Plaza West Covina. So if that's your neighborhood, stop on by to win additional prizes, including tickets to upcoming shows by Foo Fighters, Social D, and more. K-Rock and Hot Topic. Details at krock.com. Ralph broke the news to us yesterday. It's bad news for Bjork fans, Allie. She has canceled the rest of her summer tour.
It's devastating.
She did like 2 shows and then said it was too difficult because, let me read the statement for you from Bjork. I would like to thank everyone for the concert last night. I have no words to describe how grateful I am for this tour. I would like to thank the crew and the promoters and the musicians and the management, the designers, and most of all, my personal little team in the audience. These have truly been some of my most sublime moments, but singing this album has been intense, and the internal clock of it is different to the other ones. It had sort of had to behave in its own little way. Both the urgency of the leak and now this sudden closure for reasons beyond my control is characteristic of that. What do you suppose she's talking about there?
I think I can translate Bjork.
Okay, good.
I'm singing songs about a horrible breakup, and I don't want to relive it every night.
So it's just too painful. The songs are still too fresh, too personal for her.
Yes.
Well, she is a professional. She is an entertainer, and that is what she does and has been doing her whole career. So let's find out if she's going to rebound from this. Our good friend Bjork on the line from Iceland right now. Hi, Bjork.
Hello. How are you today?
Well, we're okay, but we're a little bit worried about you. It sounded like it was quite an emotional night the other night on that show.
It was magical and emotional, as if all of the angles of music had been broken by the lead pipes of love.
I take it back. I don't speak Bjork. Are you feeling okay now, or are you still working through some stuff?
It is hard to say goodbye to the light that is coming through the trees every time you look through a bear's ear.
Okay. So you had a breakup and you wrote songs about it, but yes. The breakup was a couple of years ago. It seems like you should be able to just sing the songs now and it wouldn't tear you up inside.
No, but the cotton balls that have been soaked in kerosene never stop flaming upon the big lighters of love.
Oh, that's beautiful, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's the plan if you've canceled all these dates, disappointing many European fans who have been looking forward to the shows? Are you just going to sit at home and contemplate, or are you working through it? Are you getting some help?
First of all, let me say I would like to apologize to both of the fans who have been waiting for me in Europe. They must be very disappointed.
They were very
excited. You want to name them by name?
Yes.
Or?
Aleka.
Okay.
And Sven.
Okay.
No, they were waiting breathlessly for the tour, and I'm sorry I can't perform these songs, but you have to know that sometimes the stream water that runs over the mossy rock often passes through the toad's anus.
And that is good news or bad news for us, Bjork?
Well, it's good news for the toad, but bad news for you. Okay. But I am working on some new music, so
okay.
Hopefully these songs will be easier to perform live, and people will be able to come to the magical shell that is the underwater sea of lobster love.
Any chance we can hear what you're working on?
I do have some new music if you'd like
excellent.
To hear it.
Yeah.
That's great, Bjork. Thank you.
I love too much sometime when I put my hair in a fan. It hurts. Ow. I love sometimes too much, so much it hurts. Like chewing on tinfoil with a filling. Ow! Ow!
It's very relatable.
It is. Sometimes love is painful.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And that's making you feel better. Maybe some happy songs. Maybe that's what you should be working on, is some songs that are about happy things, not sad subjects.
I do have a happy song.
Oh, could we hear some of that, please?
I'm happy! When I cut myself.
Oh.
Ow!
Okay, that's not happy, Bjork.
That's a little bit happier.
No, you're just inflicting more pain on yourself. Oh. Maybe something about rainbows and unicorns and
I do have a song about a unicorn.
Okay.
I need a unicorn. He's ran me through with his horn.
Oh, why do you have to die in all of your songs, Bjork?
Just wishful thinking.
Hey, party people, thanks so much for tuning in on a Monday morning. I am the king of haircuts. I think I've been making some good choices with my hair lately.
Sure.
I think you guys would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know that this guy, Alberto Olmedo, is for me, though. His techniques, I don't know, seem a little unorthodox. I'm not sure I'm ready to put my head and my hair in his hands.
Well, I mean, he does use swords.
And blowtorches.
And a blowtorch.
Yeah.
To cut your hair.
He is a Spanish hairdresser who has a salon in Madrid. He admits his methods are a bit medieval. And here's my favorite part. But he claims it's the only way to get both sides of a haircut mathematically exact and completely even. Now, haven't people been cutting your hair mathematically exact with scissors for
I thought so
hundreds
until
of years?
I read this, and now obviously it hasn't been.
All right, we want to hear more about the swords and especially about the blowtorch. So why have us tell you about it when we can get Mr. Olmedo on the line with us right now from Madrid? Hello, sir. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you.
We're doing fine. So you are the Edward Scissorhands of hairdressers.
Well, that's what they say in so many articles.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself?
I call myself a hair sculptor.
Hair sculptor. Okay.
Yes. And I use sometimes unorthodox methods
to
achieve my results, but they're fabulous.
Okay. Why is a sword better to use for cutting hair than a pair of scissors?
Because when your hair will sharpen sharp, it is an exact blade you're cutting with, and crossing the blades creates a texture that you can't get on that way.
You can't get that with scissors?
No, you can't. Scissors, don't get me wrong, I'm using them right now on Brenda here.
Oh, okay.
They are an effective way for shortening hair.
Right.
But you must know, hair is a living thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not a dead thing.
Right.
And so you have to use all the forces of nature.
Okay. All right. So, hey, we don't want to distract you if you've got a client there. Do you want to speak to us later or is now okay, Alberto?
I can talk and do the same at the same time cutting.
What are you doing now? What's that noise you're making?
Those are with swords I was using.
Swords, okay. All right.
To give Brenda hair texture and lift.
All right. Now tell us about what Allie brought up, which is that you use a blowtorch on some clients.
This next step I'm doing now is seal the ends of the hair once it has been cut.
Right.
Why do you need to seal them?
Because hair is a living thing.
Uh-huh, you mentioned that, right?
And if you have split ends on the end of your hair,
right?
Which I have split ends.
Oh, uh-huh. Me too.
This will seal the ends of the follicle.
Ends of the what?
The follicle.
Follicles.
Oh.
Yes.
Follicles.
Oh, wow.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Beautiful looking now for Brenda, and the smell is pungent.
What's the temperature of that blowtorch?
It is 1,300 degrees Celsius.
That's insane. That will kill a person.
I don't hit the whole person with it.
Well, yeah, but it would seem like it'd be pretty easy to miss, you know?
I'm a professional, so...
You don't want your face on fire.
I don't put in face.
Okay, all right.
I use only on hair.
You're the expert, I guess.
And I have... These are techniques that I have perfected over the years.
Okay.
And I know I'm doing that.
Oh. Whoa, is that a chainsaw? No, Alberto.
Excess hair on the one side, and then we must even it up on the other side.
Is that a machine gun?
Yes, that makes the hair fluffy. Now we add this.
Is that a donkey?
I have donkey chew off some of the hair for layers.
That can't
then
be.
To add volume.
Those firecrackers?
Firecrackers what? On the head.
Wow.
And then I just...
What was that, Alberto?
What did you use a slide whistle for?
Just for fun. Then also... Yes. With a llama come by.
Right there in the shop, a llama.
And then just to tame the hair, I must use the whip.
Oh, man.
Get down hair. Be good hair now.
It's a lot of work.
And then, of course, I put it in my own essence.
Poor Brenda.
It makes me so excited.
Come on.
And now just a little of my own special hair.
No. This is terrible.
I call that my moose.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning. I am unfamiliar with these people, Justin Etzen and Lana Zakosila, but they had a wedding that made news recently because of an unruly guest at the wedding, and that's going to be the topic here the next few minutes on The Kevin Devine Show. Guests that get out of control at your wedding. They got married on Saturday, August the 22nd, and it was quite a weekend affair in Italy, by the way. It was the most spectacular wedding, a source tells Us Magazine. There were 20 Cirque du Soleil performers. There was food from the Four Seasons from a Michelin-starred chef and a fireworks show timed to the music.
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
That is spending a lot of money to get married, first of all. But that's not what the guests will remember. The guests will remember that this is the wedding that Lindsay Lohan got naked at.
There are a lot of reports. Like, they got married on a Saturday. On the Friday night, there are reports that she ran up, she would change clothes, come back down, cause some kind of reaction, a stir or something, run back up, change, come back down. Four times.
What's that about? I understand you ladies are particular about your outfits when you're going to a fancy event, but don't you usually change there in the room, like put on an outfit, decide you don't like it, and then put something else on? You don't run down to the party and get reactions from the party and then go back up and change and try again, do you?
I'm not sure she was...
in her right mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds maybe like she wasn't.
So on the Friday night, the night before the wedding, where she's going back and forth changing outfits, she also apparently tried to DJ, pretending to DJ using her iPhone. She kept replaying the same songs over and over and over again and then accused people of taking photos of her, which one guest said wasn't possible because they took their phones away for that party, which was an Eyes Wide Shut themed party. But somehow Lindsay still had her iPhone with her, so I guess she's not playing by the rules. Can you just imagine her running around DJing, though?
I can't. And I also feel bad for the wedding couple.
Of course.
Right? I mean, this is the bride's, like, this is her weekend that she's dreamed about, and Lindsay Lohan is just running around like a crazy person.
So this is probably the rehearsal dinner the night before, and Lindsay Lohan is running around with her iPhone pretending to DJ and playing The Girl Is Mine by Monica and Brandy over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The next day during the actual ceremony, Lohan was fully on her phone and was painting her nails, which was weird considering it was a very high-profile event. She also threw off her shoes at the cocktail hour.
Well, I get that.
At a fancy event. Things took a turn for the worse after an announcer cracked a joke about Lohan during the reception. The witness tells Us Magazine that Lohan then rushed out and claimed she had been drugged. Here's where it gets weird. She took off all of her clothes and got completely naked and was running around screaming that she'd been drugged. Look, we weren't there. We don't know. Based on what we have heard about Lindsay Lohan, if she got drugged, she was doing the drugging, right?
Yeah, you would think.
I would think so, yeah.
Doesn't it sound like?
Yeah.
According to a second source, an EMT came to attend to Lohan, but the star was deemed fine. She could walk and talk. She wasn't slurring or anything. She was just upset about a joke being made about her. She just wanted the attention, another guest says. There were also reports, by the way, that she wore a white dress to the wedding to upstage the bride. Her people said, no, no, the dress was actually light pink, but appeared white in some photos. She was not trying to upstage the bride. So she does still have people who are defending her, and I'm sure will tell us that this was all just a misunderstanding.
But we can't imagine that this doesn't happen pretty much at every wedding. Anytime there's alcohol involved,
yes.
Yeah.
Somebody can't handle it.
Yep, there are emotions running high, and there are family members who have gotten together for the first time in a while sometimes, and there's tension involved there. But I think you're absolutely right. I think that that open bar probably leads to a lot of problems with wedding guests, and that's what we're looking for here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We want to hear your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you were at a wedding and somebody got out of control and did something. Look, I see stories every couple of weeks of a guest who falls into the wedding cake.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of things happen like that. We want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. Or you can text us, too, at the number 2 KROQ. That's 25767. We'll get your stories next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Minutes away from our friend Joe Rogan joining us just after 8 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we are talking about wedding guests gone bad at 1-800-520-1067. Or you can text the show at the number 2 KROQ. Lindsay Lohan is being talked about as being that guest who ended up being naked and rolling around and just acting crazy at a wedding. But it happens at all sorts of weddings. And that's what we're looking for. Why don't we start with right at the top at line one in Anaheim and go to our man Sean. He's up first. Hey Sean, thanks for listening, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey Kevin and Bean. Yeah, so my wife and I were debating about having an open bar because she knows that my friends like to drink, so we end up deciding that it's a good idea.
Right.
So we go to all the tables to do the meet and greets during the reception, and everyone has a shot of Jack for us waiting there. And so at the end of the night we call cabs to go out to Huntington Beach to continue the party. We get in the cab and my wife for some reason thinks she's able to throw up and spit it inside of a Gatorade bottle.
What?
Instead, she misses and throws up all over her dress. So it wasn't a guest that got drunk. It was actually my wife who got plastered.
That's pretty strong. And, at least it's the bride, yeah. Right?
Right, I mean, yeah, right.
At least
right.
She can't. At least she doesn't have someone else ruining her special day.
Yeah, she had a great time, and I guess that's all that matters. I had fun, too. I ended up putting her back in the hotel and hanging out with some of the groom's.
By the way, but if she's vomiting at the end of the night, that's not the sexy time wedding night you were hoping for.
Nah, he put her to bed and went out with the guys.
Hey, Sean, I'm glad you called. Thank you so much. And Sean brings up a great point, by the way. If you can afford it, there's no reason to not have an open bar because weddings suck. And the only reason most of us are going to your wedding is because of the open bar. So don't deprive us of the open bar.
If you can't afford it, don't invite people.
Don't get married.
Thank you.
How about that?
Yes. Come on.
I think you're right. Let's go to line 3, Woodland Hills. This is going to be Liz. She is up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Liz. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Good morning. Along those lines of the open bar, my wedding, they only had beer and wine, which is a recipe for disaster because everyone brings flasks and their own bottles under the table.
Right.
Led to my father, who had spent all this lovely money, giving the speeches, you know, who's been married longest in the room, you know, just calling shout outs. Again, I had the college group of alcoholics.
Sure.
And they give a shout-out to New Jersey, my boy that came down, one of my really good friends. And they do a spotlight on him, and he is passed out on the table with the bottle in his hand of Jack Daniels.
Pretty sweet.
And, like, hears his name and, like, lifts his head up as the drool comes down and hits him in the lap, and then he just literally fell over.
All right. So let me
That's awesome.
Let me ask you this question. When something like that happens, is it so spectacularly bad and funny that it kind of makes the wedding awesome?
Yes.
Well, let's hear from you, Liz.
It did make the wedding awesome.
It did make it's not the type of thing that ruined the wedding as much as, oh, my God, I'm so glad that happened because it's hilarious.
Oh, no. Everyone was talking about it forever. I planned my wedding so that the drunks wouldn't be driving, so I rented cabins within walking distance. And even later that night, I mean, the stories that unfolded, they ended up driving up Canaan Dune to go get more booze. I mean, wow. It was a disaster, but the story of the year and made it the best wedding
Sweet.
Because of it.
It's like wrangling cats trying to keep your wedding guests sober. Thank you, Liz. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Ivan, Long Beach, Line 7. Actually, remind us at the end of Ivan's call, we have a best man speech story.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Ivan, what went wrong with the speech?
Good morning, guys. All right, I'm at this wedding, my buddy's wedding, the best man ends up, like, drinking cocktails all afternoon long, and I'm telling him, dude, chill, like, I got this. Fast forward to about 4 o'clock when the wedding is about to begin, all the groomsmen were behind the little area with the minister, the lady minister who was going to do the wedding, and she's, you know, she's a nice-looking lady, she's hitting on her.
Yeah!
she's hitting on her, and it fast forward to, you know, he's got to give the toast. He can barely stand, barely speak. And I kind of was reining him in, and, you know, I had to escort him off the little stage. I ended up having to give an impromptu little toast myself because no toast had taken place.
So he was too drunk to give his prepared remarks about the groom.
Oh, he could barely stand. He dropped a couple of F-bombs in there.
Sweet.
That's awesome. That's what you want with the bride's grandparents right there in the audience.
Exactly. So I had to escort him to his room, rush back down, and give an impromptu toast myself.
I love it.
There was something. And the bride, of course, my buddy's bride was the sweetest girl, but she was livid. I mean, understandable.
I don't blame her.
Thank you, Ivan. Appreciate the call. Kevin, whose wedding were we at where we had an encounter?
It was Lightning,
our
former producer.
Yes.
And we were dressed as monks, I want to say.
I think we performed the ceremony, if I recall correctly.
Yep. We performed the ceremony, and then we went to – and then we – afterwards, I kind of got to the reception, and I got a drink spilled all over me, just head to toe before we even got there. And then Lightning's brother, like this last caller who was supposed to get up and give the speech, he started going, yeah, my parents always loved my brother better than me, and he got everything. He gets everything. And Bea and I are looking at each other like, what do we do? This is terrible.
We felt sort of like we were kind of in charge because we were the ones
and
who were officiating this.
That should never be the case.
We should never be. And you're right. And then he was like, it should be me getting married. And I don't know why all the good stuff happens to him.
Mom and Dad loves him best. We let it go for a while, and then we finally took the flag. We're like, all right, everybody.
But I feel like Kevin of 2015 would never have taken that.
Yeah, you're right. I've learned.
You would have just let it go for us.
I've learned to just let that go.
All right. Let's try Tiffany. Let's go back to line 3, please. Now, this sounds like a win-win for everybody.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. So my bridesmaids were amazing. They were epic. They got super, super drunk while we were getting all ready to go. Got out to my wedding, had a great, great, great ceremony, got into the reception. They decided to start giving lap dances to each other and to all the groomsmen.
Nice.
Yay!
Why am I the only one clapping?
Go on.
It was amazing. Grandpas were loving it, let me just tell you. They were in heaven. It was so amazing. It just kept going the whole night. After that, we went over to get some more alcohol to go back to the hotel. One of my bridesmaids decided to take her top off and go into, like, the freezer section and push her boobs up against the doors.
Got to put them on the glass.
You got to put them on the glass. I mean, that's the rule.
Oh, yeah. We were loving it. It was such a great time. My bridesmaids made it truly amazing. I loved every minute.
You are an awesome bride.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome bride.
It didn't ruin her wedding. She loved it.
It made it better.
All right.
It made my wedding. Everyone still talks about it to this day as the best wedding ever to go down. My husband and I are about to have our 9-year anniversary in 2 weeks, so it's awesome.
I think they said dance.
Oh.
I think. I'm not sure.
Okay. No, best wedding ever to go down, I thought.
Oh!
Yeah. No, yeah. That is what I heard.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Tiff. Appreciate it. All right. We haven't had any violence yet, and I want to make sure we cover that. Because Sam is in Huntington Beach. He's on line 5. Look, I would expect more stories about people getting
sure.
in fights. I mean, you would think with all the alcohol. Sam, what happened? Who hit who?
Okay, so this happened before the wedding even started, before the bar was even open.
Good.
Basically, the bride complained to the groom that the groom's stepmom was wearing white as well.
Okay.
So they got into this big argument in front of everybody, and his mom actually ended up slapping him, and him and his, her and his dad left the wedding. And now they ended up coming back, and I hadn't seen the dress until they came back. And so I'm expecting, like, a long, white, flowy dress to piss off the bride. The dress was black with, like, one strip of white at the top.
That's all it was?
That's all it was. It looks nothing like a wedding dress. It did not take away focus.
So the groom deserved to be slapped?
The groom definitely deserved to be slapped. They haven't spoken since, and it was all anybody could talk about at the wedding.
I love that they haven't spoken since.
That is a beautiful... You have a beautiful story.
All right, let's one more. How about Pasadena Line 8? This is going to be Michelle. Michelle, you're going to have the final word on this topic. We're talking about wedding guests gone bad. What happened?
Hi, old-timey bean. Hi, Kip.
It's great to hear from you.
So I was the one who ruined my cousin's wedding.
Yes!
When I was 18, it was the first time I met that side of my family, and my cousin thought it would be a good idea to get me really drunk before the wedding. My cousin, who was the bridesmaid, not the bride.
So did your cousin do this because she knew it would be funny?
Well, they're drinkers, and I don't think she thought that I would react that way, but
I think
she was like, oh, you haven't had a drink? You have to have a drink, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got really drunk. There's video of, you know, when they announced the bride and the groom in the reception.
Right.
There's video of them walking and me following, trying to pants the groom.
trying to pants the groom.
Yeah, trying to pants. I tried to pants him at least, I think, like 5 times.
There's video of that.
That's awesome.
And then when the bridesmaid gave her speech, or one of the bridesmaids, it was, I just remember being really bored, and so I was heckling it because I thought it would be funny.
You were heckling.
Outstanding.
But the thing was, I didn't think I was heckling loud, but my parents said that I was, like, yelling. I thought I was doing it for the table.
Don't be so boring!
Yeah.
She's ugly. I can't believe someone married her.
Yeah.
Michelle, you're a delicate little flower.
And then the coup de grace was I kept getting drunker and drunker, and then I threw up on the band. I just walked up to them and I threw up on the band.
See, right there.
USA!
Right?
USA, indeed. USA!
Right?
USA!
Keep doing what you're doing. Right?
USA!
Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to some great shows this weekend. Incubus and Deftones playing the Forum tomorrow night and Saturday at Irvine Meadows. We're giving them away here on K-Rock. You can also win them through the K-Rock Instagram account as well, at K-Rock. So check it out. Details at K-Rock.com. Hey, Beer Mug.
What up?
Occurred to me yesterday that I haven't heard one word from you in the last month about how you're doing as an Uber driver.
Oh, we've had so many conversations with him. I wish you were a part of being. Oh, it's just his work ethic is just amazing.
Here's what I remember is that Muggs came to us a few months ago and said, guys, I got it. I'm going to be so rich because I'm going to start driving an Uber after the show. And then we had all these conversations with him about how he was going to go out and buy a new car. So he's going to start off completely way in debt. He'd have to work like 2 years before he made his first real penny. But he said, I'm going to do it anyway. So it seemed like for the first like 2 weekends, we heard a lot of stories. Remember someone vomited on him in the first weekend?
Right.
And then the next weekend he went out and he came in and was like, I made a lot of money. But then nothing since then. And I'm trying to figure out, did it go off the rails or is he just not talking about it? What's happening?
Well, after that first weekend, let me butt in if you don't mind. After that first weekend, we started hearing about these sort of weird rules that he puts in place for like when he'll drive and when he won't drive. And it seems to be like if you're going to be an Uber driver, you pretty much just drive as much as you can and make as much money as you can. But that's not Muggs' plan.
Okay.
He's not down with that plan.
So how's it been going, Muggs?
It's been awesome. And the thing about Uber is, guys...
Define awesome.
Well, I set my own schedule.
Right.
I can work whenever the hell I want.
Right.
Which has been none.
But what if you don't want to work at all?
Then you just don't work.
And,
well, I haven't been really doing it lately because my schedule hasn't been permitting. As you guys know, I did the sticker hits all the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, that was from 1 to 3.
1 to 3.
Okay.
And, you know, and then I got to drive out to the venue or where the Hot Topic is. And,
right.
You know, that's about 5 hours out of the day total. It's only a 2-hour gig, but, you know, drive time surrounding it, it adds up to 5 hours.
Because it's an hour and a half each way.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is by time now you've been
working
from...
No matter where it is.
From 5 a.m. and you get home and it's 5 p.m. and you're tired.
Right, exactly. Okay. And when I have when I'm free after the show, which is usually I'm out of here by 11,
right.
11 a.m., I start, hit the clock. 11 to 6 is my norm, Monday through Friday. I like that schedule. That's a good schedule.
Have you ever done 11 to 6 every day for a week?
I did it 1 week, the week before I went to Hawaii.
Okay.
The week before I
now
went
wait,
to Hawaii.
You went to Hawaii 3 weeks ago?
That was like 5 weeks ago, maybe.
Five? Okay. All right. So, Bean, the update is he hasn't driven in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
No. What kind of plan is that?
It's been, I take a little time off of Uber, you know.
You started Uber 2 weeks before that.
I know, but, you know, it's fine. It's still waiting for me. I mean, I do have to – my car insurance expired 2 days ago, so even if I wanted to drive today, I have to renew it first. But that's fine. It's already renewed. I just have to send them a new document. But, yeah, I'll get back on it.
Wait, what are
wait,
you
– what?
You have – you just said that you –
My car.
You have to register it, but it's okay because it's already registered.
Well, no. My car insurance, the one they have on file, expired. But
okay.
Since then, the insurance company sent me a new one. So all I have to do is upload a new document. So when I'm ready.
Yeah, that's like 20, 25 seconds out of your day.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. So that's not stopping you from
no,
driving.
No, but, you know, I'll get back into it.
So, but the sticker hits.
Yes.
The Hot Topic thing.
Right.
That ended last Friday.
Yes.
Today's Thursday.
You know, I'm getting back into it slowly, Kevin.
Right. Easing.
Easing it. Okay. Easing my way back
Why
into it.
Why slowly?
You know, just make sure all my ducks are in a row.
What does that mean?
My personal life. I got to get everything in order, and then I'll, boom, start making that Uber money, baby.
But what I'm saying is last Friday was your last excuse for the sticker thing for the station.
Yeah.
So what about Saturday and then Sunday and then Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday?
Well, Saturday and Sunday, I like to take off.
Sure.
I like to.
See, this is the thing.
Yeah. Saturday and Sunday, I like to dedicate that for me. You
sure,
know?
Right.
My time.
Yeah.
Well, and in Muggs' defense, yesterday was National Dog Day.
Yes.
So you can't drive on National Dog Day.
Right. Exactly.
No, but I'm serious. What about Monday of this week?
Monday of this week, I was feeling a little tired after the show,
oh,
so I went
tired.
Home and took a nap.
What about Tuesday of this week?
Tuesday, which was, 2 days ago, I went swimming.
Okay.
I went swimming.
Okay. But can't you go swimming at probably for what, a half hour and then go work?
Yeah, it was strenuous, so I was a little tired after swimming. So
okay, look, so you went swimming
on
Tuesday.
You got to be sharp when you're driving an Uber
car. Well,
then
you should never have started.
How dare you?
So yesterday.
Yesterday.
Wednesday.
I was going to go see Straight Outta Compton again.
Okay. Okay.
But then my buddy.
And you were going to drive Uber, too.
Yeah.
Did you?
I didn't. Because
okay.
My buddy canceled on me. So
right.
I just ended up going home.
Okay.
So you did. Look, your relationship with driving Uber seems to be the same as your relationship with going to the gym, which is to say that you have an account, but you don't use it.
Right. But like I said, guys, it's there for whenever I'm ready to start making that buku buck. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. We hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, but they don't make any sense. Because you've had so many opportunities to drive, and you just don't.
Look.
Why don't you drive past 6? Why don't you drive from 5 to 8?
Well, because I don't want to be out too late. Because you got to wake up. Our hours
no,
are crazy
our
here.
Hours,
I don't
yes.
want to be out too late during school nights.
How is 6:30 too late?
Because
you
I like
cut
to,
it off at 6.
Because I like to get home around 7, start unwinding, get a little food in.
Unwinding
get a little,
from what?
Get a little Netflix in.
From swimming the day before, Bean.
Right. Yeah. So
and I from not going to Straight Outta Compton.
But I think it's going well, you guys. I think it's...
I do, too. Keep doing what you're doing, Bugs.
You're doing good work.
All right. We told you this was coming. Your tickets for night 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is sold out on December 13th at the Forum. This is the night with Chris Cornell, by the way, and with Fall Out Boy, with Panic at the Disco, the 1975, The Neighborhood. It's going to be a great night. 11 K-Rock artists on one stage in one night. We want you to be there. Call now at 1-800-520-1067. The show is sold out. But you can win your tickets right now. You will have to earn them. We're going to have you play a game, and it is not going to be easy. But call now if you'd like to go.
I went to a Halloween party and saw one of my friends dressed as Bob Ross.
Really?
Yes. And I said, what's with the afro? Who is that? Who is that? He's like, Bob Ross. He taught painting on PBS all those years.
Bob Ross, we were talking about on the show last week, has been dead for 20 years now. And for a number of years before that, you're right, Kevin, he had that very popular painting show. He's a very gentle speaking guy who manages to take a brush and just touch the canvas and make a beautiful cloud.
Yeah, he's an ass because I would watch that show and try it. He'd go, oh, yeah, you just do this, 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 and this, and it comes out beautiful. And then I would try it, and it just looked like a mess.
Like a blob, right?
Yes.
Well, the fascinating thing that we talked about last week that I had not heard about is that there is a way to become a certified Bob Ross instructor. There's a school in Florida where you go. It's a very intensive school for 3 weeks where you learn to paint like Bob Ross and then learn to teach like Bob Ross. And it's very popular. There are over 3,500 people in the world who have gone through this school in 39 countries around the world. And I said at the time, I said, there's my retirement plan right there.
Right.
When I am pushed away from the microphone, I'm heading right to the Bob Ross School, and I'm going to be a Bob Ross instructor. That sounds like a beautiful way to live.
Do you paint?
No, I don't paint, but I can learn. I'm going to go to the school and learn how to paint like Bob Ross and then impart my wisdom to others.
Do you teach?
I mean, technically, no, I've never been a teacher. Why? You're trying to make it sound like I'm unqualified for this profession.
Are you already doing it is my real question.
No.
Already started?
No, I'm saying this is going to be...
Have you taken the course?
No. After radio. This is my retirement plan. Why are you looking at me like
that?
Are
you already teaching?
No. What are you talking about?
We have audio.
No, you don't.
Yes.
How
we
can
do. You? One of your, in quotes, students sent
what are you
it
talking?
In.
What are you talking about?
You teaching the Bob Ross system.
Oh, come on.
This is Bean as a Bob Ross instructor. Boy, this is going to be bad.
Good morning, class. I'm here to teach you the Bob Ross style of painting. The joy of painting, if you will. I'm your teacher, Professor Baxter. This is our 12th class together. And in this class, like the 11 others, our focus is going to be on painting the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh.
Hey, that 29 people died in that. Now, here, we take this little brush, and here we paint the water, and this, and I'll be going around looking at your work while I'm demonstrating. And this is just the ship here going down. These are the dead bodies who are sinking down into the water. What are you painting there?
I'm just painting some trees.
There were no trees in the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I know, but Bob Ross always painted trees, and I like these leaves.
It's leaves! You should know better. I'm going to write you a strongly worded letter.
Professor Baxter?
Yes, you in the back there.
Why does it look like there's a Denny's restaurant on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald in your painting?
That's just an artistic license. Today's Denny's Day.
I'd like my money back, please.
There's no refunds. And I'm going to take this brush right here, and I'm going to make one of the 29 victims a big-breasted woman.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Look. Oh. Use this brush here.
Nope.
Make, oh,
God.
Daddy likey.
Nope.
Oh,
no. I'm out of here. You suck! This guy's terrible.
Wait! I didn't get to the fluffy clouds that look like boobies.
See, I'm gonna be good at that.
Cut me farther than I've ever been.
All right, let's guess, Allie. Was David Cross waiting on hold, singing along with that 21 Pilots song or not?
I'm going no.
You say no?
No.
I think he enjoyed it. I think he was surprised by how much he enjoyed it, but he wasn't sure of the words, so he hummed it. Let's find out who's right as the great David Cross returns to the Kevin and Bean Show after too long an absence. Hey, Mr. Cross, welcome back, sir.
Hey, guys. Hang on. I'm just Googling the lyrics to that song and the arrangement. I wanted to get the arrangement, too. And when I hum a song, I usually ask a couple people in to come in and study it and take the lows and the highs, looking at the middle and just nail it.
Well, you take it seriously, like you should, man. You don't half-ass it. I understand.
Yeah, exactly. That's nice. That's how I approach everything.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are things over there? Your neck of the woods.
Everything's fine. We miss your wife. We haven't seen her in a while, and you know she's a longtime favorite of the show. You guys doing all right?
Yeah. She just got back. She was in L.A. Shooting a movie with Bob Odenkirk, and she just got back last night. Yeah.
That hack. Man, she's
you
working
can't
with that hack.
Shake that guy.
Yeah.
It's
He's
hard.
Just trying to take over your whole career, man.
It's, you know, it was a payoff on a bet from a long time ago. he just wanted to figure out a way to kiss her, and then I was like, look, man, go back in time and write a movie, you know, that you can do that in. And this is before we even met, so.
Oh.
I was very much pulling for him at the Golden Globes the other night. I'm sad that he didn't win, but my God, what a career.
Me too. I told him a couple weeks ago, we were talking about this other project, and I said, and I truly meant it. I was like, I predict you're going to win the Golden Globe. I mean, not only just because he deserves it, but, you know, they like to be on the at the forefront,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to
uh-huh.
start winning Emmys, and as well he should. But, yeah, I was really hoping and thinking that he would win.
Well, I mean, he's such – and look, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about Bob, but he's such a revelation on that show. We knew how great he was on, you know, Breaking Bad, but then the depth to that character and the way he plays it and the whole arc and everything like that, he was just so genius. It was almost like we were seeing a whole nother level to his acting. You know what I mean? I think he's just amazing.
And you are, yeah. You know, he was – you know, he rose to the occasion of stepping up, you know,
exactly.
to what they were writing. Yeah.
So let's talk about what's new in David Cross's world, and that's a lot right now. Let's start with the tour, because I'm really fascinated with this. David Cross, Making America Great Again, whoever heard that name before, is the return to stand-up after how long, David?
6 years since I've toured. I mean, I've been doing stand-up here and there.
Drop-ins, yeah.
In the yeah, exactly, like friend shows and benefits and you know, music festival things and stuff like that. And so I've been consistently doing it, but I haven't put an hour together in 6 years and gone out on the road. So that's what I've been working on. I had the reason it came about was I had shoulder surgery, and it, you know, it's a pretty intense recovery time. And I knew that I couldn't take other work. And, you know, my arm was in a sling for a month and a half, and then you can't really use it for another month or so. And it kept me in one place, too, New York. So I figured, all right, well, what better time to just get all my material, cull it, start working on it, figure out the hour, and then go out.
Is that terrifying at all?
The going out on tour?
Just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be up there for an hour as opposed to, you know, doing a benefit every now and then, doing drop-ins every now and then, a consistent
yeah.
hour.
Well, yes, it was last night I did my first warm-up, whatever you want to call it, where I did my first hour and change. And really it's about the sequencing. It's, mm-hmm. it's about two things. Do I have enough time? Like I was very nervous and apprehensive that all the stuff that I listed and the set that I thought it would work this certain way, that I was going to get off stage and then, you know, I was going to look and it was like, oh, 42 minutes. Ah. Oh, no, you know, but I had plenty of time. I tend to, you know, riff a lot within the bit. So I had plenty of time but up until that moment, up until, you know, 5 minutes into that hour set, it was a surprise drop-in set. You know, it was all cleared and everything, and it was. I was pretty apprehensive. I wasn't sleeping that great, and I was really a little nervous because, you know, my first show is in, I think, a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah, 27th.
You know, if it's not ready, then I'm really screwed. But it was fine. It was all good, and I've got some more hour warm-ups coming. You know, within the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I feel a lot better today. But the last 4 days, I couldn't concentrate on anything else. I tried to just read a book or watch something, and I just was preoccupied with, what if I made a terrible mistake? Oh, my God, what if I'm not funny anymore? What if I only have 30 minutes? What if they get blew me up the scene? You know, all that kind of stuff. That even
well, you are famous for your poor decisions, so maybe this yeah. was just another one. David, here's
nice.
Here's
the segue.
I saw it was right? good. And
here's how bad I am. I'm still not going to pivot to talking about the TV show because I have more stand-up questions. So I've just wasted that excellent transition. Here's the question that I have for you, and I know this is stupid. But in my mind, guys do stand up, and then they become big TV and movie stars, and then they don't do stand up anymore. But increasingly, I see so many people like you and like Judd Apatow and like others who can't give it up. Like there's something about being on the stage, even though you don't have to be, that you can't not do. And I'm trying to understand what is the rush, what is the thrill, why go back to it when you don't have to?
Well, I can't speak for anyone else, but speaking for myself, it's a couple things. One is, this is how I started. I started by doing stand-up when I was a teenager still, and I that was the thing that drew me to this part of to this life that I now have. And it was always stand-up, and it was the thing that I could most easily do when I was 17, 18. I couldn't write a script and shoot it. I couldn't create a TV show, but I could do stand-up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a long process. So, I mean, in part, that it's really part of who I am and is kind of the first foray into this world of expressing myself through humor. And then the other aspect to it is there's just no replacement. And you can do all these other things. You can write movies, act in them, direct in them, create TV shows, write a book. You can do all those things, but it does not remotely come close to the feeling and just the hour you're creating when you go out on stage. It's just you and a microphone and, you know, 2,500 people in a room. You just can't replicate that in any other way. And you miss it. You begin to miss it. I remember at the end of the last tour, and I sincerely, genuinely meant it, at the last show, I swore, I promised, it wasn't going to be another 5 years. This was such a great time. I love everybody. Y'all are great. What a great tour this has been. I will see you in a couple years. And then, you know, you just see with life and other things. And it took, you know, it took a surgery and my arm, you know, incapacitated for 3 months to get me to go, oh, this is what I'll do. Great, you know.
That's why I shot you from that high rise, because I wanted to put you down so that you were forced to do this. We're talking to a comedian, David Cross, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Making America Great Again. By the way, the local dates, if they're not sold out, check it out. January 27th in Claremont at the Bridges Auditorium. That's at Pomona College. And then on Friday, January 29th at the Theater at the Ace Hotel. Tickets are online right now at davidcrosstour2016.com. We're almost out of time, David. I hate this, but I do want to get in a plug for Todd Margaret because it is back. You returned last Thursday night on IFC. See another new episode tomorrow night, or Thursday night, rather. This was, talk about surprises. No one was more surprised than you that Todd Margaret is back on the air.
Yeah, I mean, when IFC approached me years later, several years later after it finished, about doing it, I was pretty adamant, and, you know, the world blows up. It was never, ever, ever, ever meant to be anything past the first two series.
Yeah, you did everything you could do to make sure it was impossible to bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, that was the story we wanted to tell, and we told it, and that was it was never meant to be anything more. And then one of the other writers came up with the idea that we eventually did. It was such a good idea. I mean, I remember reading it going, oh, man, now I have to do it. It's such a cool, interesting concept. I got to go back to London for another 8 months, and which I love, but you know it's tough to be uprooted for 8 months and not be home, and you know. But it's great. It's really I'm really proud of it. I think it's really cool. And the way we did it, we aired the first three episodes last Thursday, and then the conclusion will be the last three episodes this Thursday, and it really does feel like a to me, at least, two parts. You know, there's the first part where he's kind of figuring out slowly what's going on, and he knows he has to recreate the dream to find out what he needs to do to prevent the dream from coming true. And then there's the final half, which is this week, in which he wakes up and he has way more information than it's him trying to. And it's ridiculous, of course.
Well, it is, and it is so funny. And Will Arnett is back, and the great Sharon Horgan is there, and Jack McBrayer new this season, and the cast is just tremendous, and it's very funny. Final question, David: how do you like having hair in Todd Margaret?
Well, I mean, hair is one thing, but a lot of glue on your head to keep that hair there—that's not the fun part.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it's so believable too. You would never know. It's the worst.
Yeah, well, our budget is not we're not getting, you know, human hair wigs, you know, $12,000 things made in Honduras being shipped to us. I mean,
yeah, you're not on a Jennifer Lopez budget. Cop show. You can't have everything. Right. All right.
No. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Todd Margaret is back on IFC Thursday nights. Check it out, and IFC.com, of course. David Cross Tour 2016. Don't miss the opportunity to see Mr. Cross, because he's going to tell you he's touring all the time, but we may not see him again in our lifetime the way he does it. So don't miss these shows coming up in Claremont and at the theater at the Ace Hotel as well. Always great to catch up with you, sir. Keep up the great work. We really appreciate your time today, David.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Bye-bye. All right, that's David Cross. Legend, right?
He's comedy legend. One of the most brilliant human beings to walk the face
of
the earth.
All right, we don't have much time because we have a very busy hour, including we're talking UFC with the former champ Dominic Cruz coming up in a few minutes. But we do have time for a few of your phone calls. If you'd like to get in on the show, we'd love to do this feature when there's time. It's called What's Good. And this is where any topic that's on your mind that you feel like we should be talking about, something that's going on in the news, something that's going on in your life, you need advice, you have questions, you have comments about anything, this is your chance to make the show better. 1-800-520-1067. What do you want to talk about? Kevin Beans, What's Good, right after this on K-Rock. Friday morning means Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And don't forget, we got another chance for you to win tickets to go see the Clippers tomorrow night at Staples Center versus the Sacramento Kings. By the way, what was the number I heard? The Warriors, they beat the Lakers last night. They've won. They're 19-0 at home this year. Yeah. Imagine going to see whoever your team is, and they never lose. Every time you go, they win. What a fun experience that would be, huh? All right, we got to talk about the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
Sit down.
I have become, look, it's too early for me to be fully invested. I have no idea who I'm going to end up voting for. I do know it will not be Donald Trump. And it has nothing to do with the fact that that he might be the Republican nominee. I voted for lots of Republicans, but I'm not going to vote for this guy. I've become fascinated with him because I've been watching his speeches lately. You see sound bites on the news, and you go, "All right, he's got the vocabulary of a fourth grader, but he's a populist, and people find that refreshing."
He has the best words.
He does have the best words. I forgot about it. He has the best words. But watch 20 minutes of a Donald Trump speech.
No. Mm-mm. Why would we do that?
You just can't believe he just stands up there. He's so narcissistic. He's so fascinated with himself and his success that's really what he's there to talk about, is how many people come out to see him, how great he's doing in the polls, how many jets he owns, how great his apartment is, how beautiful his wife is, how successful he's been. I mean, honestly, that's what almost all of his speeches. There's a little bit of belittling the other candidates and, of course, criticizing the president, but that's legit because he's running for president. That's what he's supposed to do. It's fascinating to me, though. He's already turning into a dictator in my mind. I mean, to me, he's Kim Jong-un at this point. Just like, everybody has to bow down to how magnificent I am. There was a speech a couple of days ago. He was in Pensacola, Florida. And he decided he didn't like the sound of the microphone that he was using. Now, granted, this doesn't sound like a mic that's up to speed with the kind of mic you need for a large outdoor rally. Listen to the way he comes at the guy who set up the microphone. This is the next president of the United States.
$505 billion. We're going to lose that. $505 billion. And by the way, I don't like this mic. Whoever the hell brought this mic system, don't be the son of a bitch to put it in, I'll tell you.
This is a guy who's running for president, who's berating a minimum wage employee who set up a mic as a son of a bitch and tried to get him fired.
So I guess you're against quality.
No, this mic is terrible. Stupid mic keeps popping. Do you hear that, George? Don't pay him. Don't pay Bam!
Okay.
Who's assume, George? The promoter or something?
I assume he's the promoter, the guy who organized the rally or something like that. So now he's multimillionaire Donald Trump is saying, don't pay this guy.
Wow.
Who came and did this work. By the way, he's probably in a union, okay?
Sure.
Don't pay him because I don't like the sound of the mic.
You know, I believe in paying. But when somebody does a bad job, like this stupid mic, you shouldn't pay the bastard.
You shouldn't pay the bastard.
This but, is a rally for a presidential
Yes.
Nominee.
But he believes in paying, you guys.
He does. He let's believes a lot in paying.
Let's not misunderstand.
Terrible. Terrible. It's true. And you got to be tough with your people because they'll pay. They don't care. They'll pay. So we're not going to pay. I guarantee I'm not paying for this mic. Every two minutes, I hear like boom, boom. Anyway,
look how much time he's spending. And do you hear the people laughing and cheering?
That's the terrifying part. People are like, more. You're great.
They really do find him irresistible.
Anyway, I hope it's okay for you out there, but it really is. Well, you are real. Look at that. Look up there. It's packed up to the rafters.
Okay.
Man.
All right.
Holy mackerel.
Ah, look how many people are here to see me. All right. So the other fascinating thing for me, and I think I mentioned this on the air yesterday, is Donald Trump does not have a speech when he shows up. He poo-poos preparedness. He just wants to wing it. He wants to get in front of people who he hopes to get to vote for him and just wing it, just talk from the heart. And that leads to some real rabbit holes that he goes down.
Now, the other day, if you see, and, you know, part of the beauty is of doing what I do. I have a very good memory, so I can do this. No teleprompter, right? Is there a teleprompter? This is like a magic. This is like a magic act. Is there a teleprompter? I saw Hillary the other day.
Okay. It's like a
what?
It's like a magic act. Look at me out
Look
here.
Look at
just,
me.
Just talking.
No teleprompter.
I'd love
I am magic.
I would love to see a video that somebody puts together of all of the compliments that Donald Trump pays himself. I have a great memory. Like I have the best words.
Donald
like
does love together. Donald.
He does love Donald. All right, so he's talking about Hillary Clinton.
Ba, 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 ba. Ba, 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 ba.
He's imitating Hillary Clinton in her speech reading off of a teleprompter.
Ba, ba. And the worst thing, she was outside. So, you know, and outside they paint them black on the back. You can't even see. So this whole half, it was the biggest screen I've ever seen. And she's going this way, that way. And I won't say, but I saw one of our Republican people the other day making a speech with a big, fat teleprompter. Anybody can do that, right? But one of, and I don't read the speech. The other thing, I have a couple of notes, right? The other thing, I don't want to sit here, da, 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 da. It's so easy. Of course, you know, after about two paragraphs, everyone's walking out. But one of the beauties of doing what I do, which...
He's supposed to be talking about why he's going to be a good president.
Is this a behind the scenes of what it's like to run for president? Or this is actually he's trying to get voters?
This is a rally.
This is a rally. This is the speech. He doesn't spend any time. He's got no plan. He just rambles.
I think very few people do. A friend of mine said, you mean you're speaking in front of 21,000? This was in Dallas. You're speaking in front of 21,000 people and you don't have a speech that you're going to read? Because he calls me and said, I'd love to see your speech. Everyone's talking about it. I'd love to see your speech. I said, I have one. I speak from the heart. And it's true. I speak from the heart. I speak from the heart. And the brain, by the way. We don't want just heart, folks. We want brain. Ugh. Let me change it around. I speak from the brain, but I also speak from the heart.
Okay. We're out of time.
But one of the beauties is we can talk about things that took place 2 hours ago. Nobody's writing and speeches.
Okay.
And, you know,
God forbid writing. Nobody wants the writing.
Yeah, you don't want writing. I'm with him on that. Writing sucks.
And finally, and I saved the best for last, is yesterday, also in Pensacola, maybe 2 days ago in Pensacola, Donald Trump introduced the Donald Trump Jam.
The Donald Trump Jam.
That's right. This is his official presidential candidate theme song, authorized by the campaign, performed on the stage before the candidate comes out. If you guys haven't seen the video, it looks to me like the girls, they're dressed up in red, white, and blue, kind of cheerleader outfits. They look to me like they're about 15 years old, maybe. And you're not going to believe this song. You're just, you're not, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
I hope you're sitting down. Here we go.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this.
Okay.
What? Wait.
Cowardice. Wow. Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. That's where we're at so far.
When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA. Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys. Take them down.
No.
This is a South Park sketch.
So far.
Yeah, I agree.
This is South Park.
Comments.
Come on.
South Park Family
South
Guy.
Park. Come on.
What about the President Trump's speech? Anything
well,
about
we're asking,
the song?
We're asking you if it's a parody.
Oh, no. This is real. This.
No.
This.
No.
Listen.
More.
Listen.
More.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time.
I said earlier that he's Kim Jong-un. He's Kim Jong-un.
He really is.
This is
exactly
insane.
What you see in North Korea. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great, deal from strength, or get crushed every time. It even sounds like it was written in Korean and then translated into English, doesn't
hey,
it?
Hey, there's no writing, though, Bean. Don't be ridiculous.
All right, a little more. I know we're out of time, but please, a little more. Donald Trump jam.
Over here. Over there,
USA.
Freedom and liberty everywhere. Oh, say, can you see? It's not so easy, but we have to stand up tall and answer freedom's call.
When does this become a jam?
I can't even.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
With me.
Right.
We got to get Ralph Garman in here.
I don't think we need to get Ralph.
We don't need you. You're not needed for this.
Ralph.
Right here.
Oh, come
here
on.
I am.
Did I hear?
Here
and
I am right
and,
here.
And I overheard a little bit of this conversation yesterday. So, Ralph, you need to bring me up to speak.
Okay.
Kevin, our man Kevin, as you know, worked 3 days this year and then
right.
took a week's vacation.
Well, right. he was exhausted.
Well, by
exhausted.
The way, I'm taking off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week as well.
So he went to Barcelona,
Barcelona!
which is one of the world's greatest cities. Did I hear you guys talk about Kevin going to a 2-star Michelin-rated restaurant in Barcelona?
Yes.
Yeah,
look, here's
sounds
the beauty.
Awfully rich for his blood.
Here's the beauty of traveling is that you get, first of all, to see some great stuff. But secondly, you get to taste some of the great cuisine of the world. You get to enjoy flavors and culinary experiences that you couldn't get anywhere else. So I, for one, was thrilled that Kevin was expanding his horizons a little bit and went to a 2-star Michelin-rated restaurant.
Now, how many stars are there?
The Michelin
it's
Guide
for
Restaurants, no. It rates everything from 0 stars to 3 stars.
Oh,
three is the best that you can get.
Okay.
There's only about a little over 100 3-star restaurants in the world.
Okay.
2 stars are a little bit more common, but still, it's considered by Michelin and the people who rate the restaurants to be worthy of a trip out of your way to go visit that restaurant because the food is so extraordinary. The experience is so special that it's worth going out of your way to get to that restaurant.
See, this is why I was so surprised to hear this because Kevin, in my mind, and we haven't traveled much together, but is either an in-service, you know, a room service at the hotel or fast food on the road. That's
right.
Usually Kevin. Like, he's not going out of his way to look for a fancy place.
I don't mind.
It's a brand new Kevin. It's a new Kevin. It's a new world.
Yeah.
This is a new Kevin for a new year.
Well, I didn't go by myself to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife wanted to eat someplace nice, so she planned it.
Okay.
So what restaurant did you go to? Which 2-star did you go to?
It was the...
What was the name of
House of Barcelona.
The House
of
Barcelona.
He has no idea where he ate.
You have no idea the name of the 2-star Michelin-rated restaurant that you went to.
I will tell you this.
By the way, which is a rarity. There's probably maybe only 2 or 3 of those in all of Barcelona. Maybe just the one.
Okay.
It's a special.
I did have
special
to put on my
event.
Big boy clothes, if that's what you're saying.
Yes, you
I did.
I'm
dress
sure
up.
You did. You had to put on long pants
yes.
to go into this restaurant.
And a jacket and everything, yeah.
And if you don't remember the name, what is their specialty? What do they do there?
Yeah.
Their specialty actually is dessert, which is why I was in.
Okay.
The guy comes up to the table and says,
okay, hold on.
the restaurant's specialty, a two-star Michelin hotel restaurant, their specialty is dessert.
Two-star, one-star, I don't know. It was a Michelin-approved whatever. Yeah, here's what happened. The waiter came up to our table.
You sure you weren't at a tire store?
Maybe. <Yeah. laughs> The waiter came up to our table and said, we have a lot of great things, but we're known for our desserts, so I would order those now so that we have time to make them. And then they took us back in the kitchen to watch the pastry chef make these desserts. It was unbelievable.
Right. Oh, so dessert, great, fine.
Okay.
But what did you order from the main menu that was a standout, that was an experience that you'll never forget? I'm sure there must have been some.
The sea bass was amazing.
Some dishes that you had.
First of all, the menu, not in English.
How rude.
Well, you're in
Spain.
Oh.
So what am I supposed to do? Okay. So I don't really know what much of it is.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Your waiter spoke English, so you could have asked him to translate.
I don't think he did very much at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't think very much at all. But anyway, so I go where I go. This is my safety zone. Kids menu. That's where you go.
That's the point of the story, is that Kevin was at a two-star restaurant in Barcelona and ordered off the kids menu.
Well, only one thing, but it's mac and cheese, and you know I love my mac and cheese. And by the way, let me just say this. Maybe the best mac and cheese I've ever had. It was really great. Really great. Second only to Slide Bar in Fullerton.
You're at a two-star restaurant and you're ordering off the children's
menu.
Well,
I mean, I did order mac and cheese.
You ordered more than that.
Yeah, and then I ordered sea bass and a couple.
Didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
What do you mean, no, I didn't?
We asked your wife.
Were you there?
We asked your wife to surreptitiously bring out her phone and record the transaction between you and the waiter at the restaurant.
What?
And we have the audio.
Son of a bitch.
And it turns out you ordered exclusively off the children's menu, and you're a tragic figure as well.
Senor, may I recommend tonight the caviar? It's excellent.
No, I'm just going to be ordering off the children's menu. How sweet is your soy sample?
Oh, an excellent choice, sir. It is known to put people in diabetic comas.
Excellent. I will have two of those, my good man. Also, I would know. Are your pigs in the blanket gluten free?
No, sir. I'm sorry.
Good, I love gluten. I'll have an extra side of gluten with the pigs in the blankets. And the individual sized pizza, the pepperoni child pizza. Can I get extra cheese, an extra pepperoni, an extra pizza?
But of course, sir.
And your mac and cheese, is it made by Granny Mac?
But of course, sir.
Great, and then for the entree, I will have just... Do you have just a bowl and you can put pancake batter in it and chocolate and give me a crazy straw?
Of course, Mr. Ryder. It's a pleasure to serve you, sir.
Thank you. And if you could, and please, can you bring me a slinky and have the band play Pop Goes the Weasel?
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.